Blog Talk Radio.
KM, y'all go check him out.
Go for the money. How you want love?
Now it's for
side of the outer bridge, just thinking about it. Same dreams since 14, no getting around it. Couple plus millions, I know it sounded a bit much for you average, I'm just thinking round it. Nowadays, man, the money get the ball rolling. All your team is stagnant, not at all focused. Scared of the hand I'm dealt, have my cards folded. Now I walk a little different like my balls rolling. The best out round the world, I've been copping wins. You follow other moves, you copy them. I'm looking at them like, shit, let's just not be them. At the top street like, look, they go my lobby friend. Just that feeling off a jet, watching some plane. Take off as a run, a bus across the runway. Knowledge of the fall, remember all the things. I'm rapping every night, every day. Into the glass frame, let it breathe a bit as it starts to grasp shape. Could be wrong, but they don't know how to smash grapes. Plant tastes, that's waste. Tennis don't have legs, never follow trends. We defy life. Who cares what's the meaning of living when you define life? These self-claimed kings look to disguise lies, while the one you were sure of redesigns nice. You ain't gotta tell me new. I know it hurts, we just sticking to the plan, and we know it works. Here's the music, feel the vibe, that's how we show the work. Being on top is perfect, can't ignore the perks. This, that, whipping a push to start vehicle. When you had bad credit, you believe in miracles. Feeling like the cruise, on the path you like to choose. Remember how to win, forgetting what it's like to lose. How you want love?
Like we should, guys. For all the bad men that turned out to be good guys. For all the bad girls that had to love a good guy. For all the exes you slept with, good times.
Everybody, it's your boy Tommy Sotomayor. This is a message to the loyal following out there. You know and I know there's nothing better than a nice, well-dressed man in a suit. Now, With the budgets being as tight as they are, a lot of people cannot afford a nice suit. Well, that's untrue, because my friends at CustomSuitShop.com have made the custom suit available and affordable for all price ranges and all budgets. That's right. Go to CustomSuitShop.com. They believe that they're witnessing the return of the elegant gentleman, and they are dressing up again. They want clothing that fits right and is comfortable and looks great and makes a value statement. That's what my man Louis Morgan of CustomSuitShop.com wants everyone to know. See, what they can do is they can come to your home, perform 20 key measurements, and then hook you up with a custom suit. You know, people getting tired of wearing suits off the rack. Not saying there's nothing wrong with suits off the rack, but how would you like to have a custom suit made to fit you, the way your body contours, the way you move? That's what you can get at the Custom Suit Shop. Go to CustomSuitShop.com. There are three locations. They have one in Marietta at 1395 South Marietta Parkway, Building 100. One in Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, South Towers. Then they have another one in Birmingham, Alabama. That's right. Three locations where you can get your custom suit made. So go to CustomSuitShop.com and make sure that you mention Tommy Sotomayor sent you. CustomSuitShop.com, where with prices like these, you can't afford not to look good. Just log on at CustomSuitShop.com. That's CustomSuitShop.com. And call at 404-869-3113 if you're in the Atlanta area. If you're in the Birmingham area, call at 205-541-9469. And if you're in the Charlotte area, call 704-552-3690. And tell them Your World My View sent you.
And now, more from the man that's able to make even his own dog question their friendship. Your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
Thank you, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Tommy Sotomayor. This is In the News. And what we got going on in the news right now? I got a real subject that I want to talk to you guys about. And I'm going to bring in my man, Jason Black, and we're going to talk to the rest of you guys about these subjects and what's going on in the news. And I want to ask Jason about this. Jason, what's up?
Black first, brother.
That's what I'm talking about. I want to ask you about the 300. I did a video which actually ended up being serious, in which I was playing on it, but it was about a serious subject. And it was about the Detroit 300. There's 300 black men that's gotten together, and they were just tired of everything going on in their community. And they decided they were going to go after the criminals, 300 black men. Well, yesterday we found out that they were being sued by two black women who are saying that they don't have the right to be doing what they're doing. Two black women who live in the hood that the black men are trying to protect. How's that make you feel, brother?
Well, I don't have a problem with black men taking it to the streets and things, because it's a multi-pronged problem. It's going to take a multi-pronged strategy. However, I wasn't familiar with this story in depth about this. I've heard about them. I just haven't had a chance to investigate it more closely. But when you have a situation where you say you're going to clean up a city, clean up a society, whatever the case is going to be, you have to remember you've got to start doing that at the grassroots level. Because as you just pointed out, I mean, you can go off and go do all the work you want to. The problem is coming from the homes. The problem is that you've got an insurrection inside of your ranks.
Yeah.
And until you deal with that problem, nothing else you do is going to matter.
Agreed.
Nothing else you do is going to make any difference. We could go sit up here and go play Batman on every street corner, and we could watch every dope house or whatever. But if you don't, it's like taking out roaches. You can sit up here and spray all the raid you want to. If you haven't gotten back to where they're in the walls, to where they're breeding from, you're not going to stop anything.
agreed.
And until they do that, I mean, until they take issue with that part of it, because let's just be honest, your criminals are not criminals. They are the bastard sons run wild.
Uh-oh.
Now, if you aren't willing to say it the way I just said it, and if you aren't willing to take issue with it the way I just did, you're not going to fix anything. You know, back when the churches used to be effective, and they last were effective around the turn of the 20th century, that was what they did. The preachers called out the mammies and the broodmares. They called out the sluts. They called out the drunks. They called out the homosexuals. They called out the drug addicts. They called people out on their mess, and guess what? You didn't see as much of it. People were scared to go do those things. As soon as you stopped having the guts to call hoes, hoes, thugs, thugs, and bums, bums, you lost your ability to stop the problem.
Yep. Because if you notice, everybody's on my side until I say something about them. I looked and I saw that it was the other day. I went to see a message, and I was like, oh, let me send something back to Anita Baker, because she had been following me and we'd talk in my inbox. I went to send her something back, and it said I couldn't send her nothing back. And it said, I went looking, it said she blocked me. And I was like, wait a minute. What did I say to offend Anita? But then it was the same thing that I said to offend Jill Scott, that it's the same thing that I said to offend Holly Robinson Pete. And I keep thinking, what the fuck is wrong with black women? Do you know Roseanne Barr has not stopped following me, even though I spent a whole week talking shit about white folks?
Well, the major reason for that, though, is because these females tie their value system is tied to a white person. And you don't fit that bill. So, I mean, it's okay to disrespect you. You're just another nigga like them. It's okay to sit up here and tell you what you can't say. I just wonder if you were Anderson Cooper saying the same thing, I wonder if you'd have gotten the same response from them.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
If you were Dr. Phil.
I saw an episode of Dr. Phil. I remember seeing a judge go off on a black woman because the black woman was saying thank you, Jesus, when he was sentencing her ex-boyfriend for molesting her kids. And he said, hold on, ma'am, I don't know why you thanking Jesus, because you are at fault. This black bitch kept sitting there saying, you right, you right. And I kept saying, wait a minute.
Yeah, you saw how quickly that broke.
He's saying everything I say.
Yeah, but he's the right person to be saying it. He's the right person to be saying it. Because you have to understand, as black men in this society, and I'm not going to say that we have no power. I'm going to say that we have refused to exercise the power that we have, because we do have power when we want to have it. I mean, when we want to have swag, we got that. And when we want to have the NFL, we got that. We exercise power that gets women. We don't exercise power that gets power for ourselves.
Yep.
Now, white men, on the other hand, do that.
Well, I just thought it was funny. Like, one, I talked about how we sabotage people before they even get where they're going. I tell people all the time, I can't make money off YouTube, because every time I've gotten a channel that got some looks, it got flagged down. Every channel I have now that has over 500,000 views has two strikes on it. But it's okay, because I'm not on YouTube to make money. But the problem is white people don't have that problem. Have you noticed them big YouTubers on the big white ones? They're a bunch of big white YouTubers. The only big black YouTubers are the one that coon. Have you noticed that?
I don't know if Howard Stern's on YouTube, but I promise you they wouldn't be taking his channels down no matter how much you flag him.
You're exactly right.
But then again, power does not – I mean, they didn't – look, nothing there is set up for us. It's set up against us, and we just need to be honest about it. These are not figments of our imagination. These are not just wild coincidences. You're not getting flagged down at the drop of a hat because you're being superstitious. This is what is really happening, and it really is happening to you, and they're really doing it for the reasons that they're doing it for, because the worst thing in the world that they could imagine that would happen is if you ever got any real type of power for yourself. You know, I was I left some comments on Facebook today. Someone had put up a post, and it was just showing a string of black females with wearing all kinds of scanty outfits and whatnot with their rumps hanging out, and talking about how using those – it's a shame that we couldn't use those kind of females to break the white power structure, because white men, you know, women are a tool – white men's greatest weakness are women. And I told him, I said, not looking out in the society that I'm looking out at, the society I'm looking at, black men's greatest weakness, the greatest weakness of black men is women. White men are very disciplined where women are concerned. Take a look at Hugh Hefner. I mean, do you really think he's having sex with all the women or that he ever even really did? Hugh strikes me as bi, to be totally honest with you. At best, he strikes me as bisexual.
I want to put something out there and just make sure people don't understand this. I think that's why there's a lot of homosexuality in the white community, because they wanted to make sure they didn't concede any of their power to pussy. Why do you think the Greeks and the Romans would go away for 6 months at a time with nothing but dudes?
Because
they wanted the women to understand, you don't own us. I promise you, this is what it was. They wanted the women to understand, we could survive without you. You can't survive without us.
But they also wanted to drill in and ingrain in the minds male bonding that we have to look at the man next to us, and we have to be able to trust this man with our lives.
Yep.
And that is why you can't be sleeping with another man's wife, because you have to be able to trust this man, and he's got to be able to trust you. And also to ingrain into you as men that you understand that we have to have a relationship to each other that is separate and apart from the others. Women make time for female bonding. Women make time for that. From the time that they're at their earliest ages, they make time to do that. Now, it's imposed on them in a certain way because they cannot do things physically as the same way that males can. But we have stopped making that our priority. We started making our priority getting women as opposed to making our priority perfecting ourselves as men. Because, like, white men, for example, are very disciplined. They are very, very disciplined about their women. There is no question in a white man's mind what his woman's position in his society is.
Right. If you watch what white men do, whenever they're ready to start a family, that's when they settle down with a chick. But if they ain't ready to start no family, they ain't running around just popping out bastard kids, because white men use white women for to continue their bloodline.
Exactly.
They relegate white women to what they are. And if you think about it, white women realize who they are. That's why white women are so desperate to marry and have children for a white man. If you watch a white woman that has been married before and she marries another white man, she wants to give him an heir. Black women don't give a crap.
Well, let's go beyond that, though. I mean, white men understand the power of their children. I tweeted this just a couple of days ago, that a baby is power to a woman.
Yep.
A baby is power over a man to a woman. Yep. And a white man is not going to sit up here and give – he understands that once he has that child, that's it. You are not going to be able to walk away from this woman unless you kill the broad. So he understands that I can't just pop out kids with just any woman who saunters in through the door, because as soon as I do that, she's got power over me.
Yep.
Black men are just so addicted to panties and so beholden and enslaved to them that they will just do whatever the female says, because our priority is not power. Our priority is being popular. White men are very disciplined about that. He will sit up here and walk past 10 women. And he is not going to sit up here and have children with someone knowing he's giving away all of his power and all of his control.
How many bastard kids Bill Gates got, even though he had never gotten pussy before he got money? How many bastard kids Bill Gates got? He don't have any.
I was about to ruin that for you. I was going to say, I wonder if he's going to say that. This is a man who understands that as long as he's been with this woman, that obviously shows you how much does he really trust this woman. And I'll give you another one to think about. Bill Gates in training, Mark Zuckerberg.
Thank you.
I wonder how old he's going to be. He's going to run around with this chick for a while, I guess. Wonder how old he's going to be before he finally has children with her. Wonder how old he's going to be.
White men wait till they hit their 40s to start thinking about, let me start bringing in a seed.
But you know what? Beyond that, white men wait until they have established their empire and established their socioeconomic status. Chad Ochocinco is sitting here right now, never had a chance to get any. He didn't even make it to any social economic status. I mean, he's bigger than
Mark
a lot of
Cuban.
Us, but he didn't get it.
How many kids Mark Cuban got?
Now, isn't that a wonderful – I wonder if all of y'all just got the juxtaposition that Tommy just posed to you all. Mark Cuban, owner of a sports team. Chad Ochocinco, employee of a major league sports team. And take a look at the attitudes of the owners versus the attitudes of the employees. I wonder if you all got that. And he's not the only one, by the way. He's not the only one. He's not the only white man billionaire with no children. They make that decision very, 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 very carefully because they understand that this woman is going to have an extraordinary amount of power and control once we have a child together. So I have to make this choice and this decision. I can't make it based on how good it felt sleeping with her. I got to make this decision based upon, is this in my best interest and the best interest of the future? And black men don't think about the future.
And somebody just wrote, and it's funny, they said, Mark Cuban is suspect to me. And I said, haven't you noticed that black folks tend to think that all rich white men are suspect because rich white men would rather be in a circle with each other smoking cigars and drinking brandy than sitting out with a bunch of hoes with half their clothes off, popping and locking?
Yeah, because
half
you were
the
talking
niggas
early.
That these black men think is straight just because you keep seeing him in the club and because he got a gang of kids, that don't mean he's straight. That just means in black society having a gang of kids means you can hide your dirt.
50 Cent is suspect to me. Have you seen that sweet back swaggering nigga?
Thank you. All these niggas that y'all claim, look at Lil Wayne got a gang of kids.
And we got pictures of him kissing Birdman on the mouth. But you're not sitting up listening to niggas sit up and call him suspect. He's not suspect. He's caught and sentenced. But you don't see people sitting up here putting up a bunch of videos about him talking about he's suspect. He's not the suspect. He's the perpetrator. We got proof on him. But you're not saying about him, Nicki Minaj. I mean, we got video of her. I can put it up for you if you want it. Slapping other women on the ass while they're twerking on stage. I wonder if y'all have seen that video. Go on YouTube. It's there. She's slapping other women on the ass.
We're the only group of men that allow women to scare us by calling us gay. Every time have you noticed that they try to break up our little circles is by calling us gay? That's the first thing a black woman does. When there's a congregation of black men, they say they're gay.
But do you know why? The reason why is because the most important woman in your life is your mother. And who was the first woman to say that crap to you?
Yeah, your mother.
The first one to sit up here and say, you scared of girls?
They don't even encourage male bonding. Black women don't. White women will encourage their sons to go play out with some boys and will get afraid if their sons don't play with boys. Black women will encourage their sons to be a heartbreaker. My little boy, a heartbreaker. White women don't encourage their son to be the motherfucker all the hoes want. They encourage their son to be the leader of all the boys in the neighborhood. My son is the one the other kids follow. My son is the one who's always the general when they play war. My son is always the first pick when they play basketball. My son is the one that got the car when they go out to party at 16. They want their sons to lead men. Black women have never encouraged their sons to lead men.
Tommy, I mean, see, this is why people sit up here and talk about you and me the way we do, because this was you just hit something that I was about to say before we went to the last break. Have you noticed how when white people have what they consider a good school, all the kids there have to dress a certain way? They all dress with their little suits and ties on. They're all dressed with their little slacks on, their little blazers on, like they're going to business college. You're 10 years old, dressed like you're going to college.
Yep.
But that's because they understand young, you instill in your children what you want them to be. Have you ever noticed that the better that white people consider a school to be, the more that school insists on the students mastering adult responsibilities and adult subjects younger and younger and younger? They don't sit up here and teach the white boys to sit up here and be cute. There is no cosmetology class at a white school. You show me a damn white school that's cranking out millionaires that's got freaking cosmetology class. You show me one. You show me the little white gay hairdresser at the white folks school. Show them, do they even have one? But I can show you Brandeis. I can show you the Wharton School of Business. Ain't that right, Donald Trump?
Oh.
I can show you the Harvard Law School, and when they walk in from day one, hey, tell me how many people are sagging their pants at the Wharton School of Business.
Dude,
show me how many people are sagging their pants at Cambridge and Oxford.
Let me tell you something. At IBM, every time they'd hire black people, especially black women, they would always complain. Here's the funny thing about IBM. You had two kinds of suits you could wear, man or woman. You could wear a blue blazer or a black one. That's it. Do you know what casual Fridays were? You did not have to wear, not your tie, your coat. Do you know that it is 2012? IBM has still not changed that rule.
And I'll give you something else to think about. There were a lot of other computer companies that started with IBM, started after IBM, and IBM, we all thought, was going to be the death knell for them when they got out of personal computers, and they are one of the biggest companies in the world still to this day because they were able to evolve. But there's no such thing as evolution without discipline.
Yep.
Now, if you sit up here and you let all your folk, I mean, the NBA is a damn mess today because you let the damn streets come in here and tell you what kind of league you were going to have. And now you got grown men walking out there on the basketball court, smacking each other on the ass, flagging and sagging. And you wonder why you got some teams there that you could shoot a machine gun all the way around the stadium and never hit anybody. but the NFL doesn't have that problem. And that's because there's just too damn much money to be made, too many white men running things. They're telling these black men what they can do, how you can celebrate, what you can say, where you can stand, what
and
you can
NFL
wear, where
you will
be. And
NFL is getting rid of motherfucking stars all the time because the NFL says our game is not about the individual, but it's about them jerseys. They actually will fine you at the beginning of the game for having your motherfucking socks too high, your pants too low, or your damn towel 1 inch longer than it's supposed to be. They get paid every game for doing that shit. When black folks start trying to have outrageous celebrations, black folks, and especially black women, went and said they shouldn't be flagging them for doing that. They're just expressing themselves. No, they need to act like they've been there before. And I'm one of the biggest people who believe in, yes, it is entertainment, but some of that shit is going overboard.
I'm sitting up here. There was an NFL highlights commercial on television. Here this dude is, I mean, swinging his hips around like Marilyn McCoo. I'm like, are you serious? You're supposed to be a football player, man. You're supposed to be a pro athlete. He makes a touchdown, and I mean, you would have thought it was Dan Fever out there. I'm not like, you're supposed to be a grown-ass man and got to be black. You're supposed to be a grown damn man. You're in the freaking NFL. Could you imagine Drew Brees running into the field goal? I'm saying the quarterback, but you understand my point. Could you imagine Drew Brees running into the field goal and then shake your booty doing the Tootsie Roll? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine Mark Sanchez, Tim Tebow? You get the idea. Tebow does his little prayer thing, jumps back up, and walks back off. He's not signing an autograph. He's not doing dancing. He don't do nothing but sit there and look pretty. Him and his wife both sitting there looking pretty. And that's it. They're not doing car commercials and everything else. Show me a nigga doing car commercials.
Well, let me ask you this, though, and then we're going to bring in some callers, bring the callers because they want to talk. They're ready. Let me ask you this. Have you ever noticed that two of the biggest dancers, prancers, and whatever in the NFL, if I had to ask you over the past 10 years, who are the people synonymous for end zone celebration and just being divas? What two names would come to your mind?
I'm not a big football fan, but the number one name that comes to mind is Deion Sanders. That's the first one that comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Now,
if there's enough.
All right, now I would say Chad Johnson and Terrell Owens.
Oh, dude, they don't just dance anymore, man. They're
That's
dancing
what I'm saying.
And doing back.
Because what Pete Cruz doesn't bother me. He does a salsa and gets the fuck out. What these dudes were doing were ridiculous things. They were going overboard. They were doing just retarded stuff. Like, they were doing scripted dances, and it had to be a new dance every week. They were doing stuff. Deion did the same. If y'all say whatever y'all want about Deion as far as being flashy, he did the same shit every time when he go down the line. He'd do this at the high step. Then he'd do that. Then he'd get the fuck on.
But they want
them
more attention.
Them other dudes are scripting dances. They're jumping up when they get a first down, not a touchdown, a first down. Doing a dance out of a first down. These two dudes are both raised by single mothers. Both have been brought down by their ego and their baby's mamas. Both.
And then you wonder why these white folk are not scared of you.
Right. You got two men dancing and dressing and all this shit, and they were brought down by their baby's mamas. But you never heard about this shit from Calvin Hill. You never heard about this shit from Jelly Bean Bryant. Why not?
Oh, man, I'll go even further than that. With as much trouble as he's gotten into, Ben Roethlisberger, and I'm not a football person, but, I mean, I don't see him catching nearly as much hell as his black counterparts are, with as much trouble as he's gotten into.
And you see how he straightened his ass up after the incident he had with a woman?
And that was it. You're not catching him. There's no tapes. There's nobody's baby mama running around yelling. There's none of that mess going on. He
you
let him know, hey, they let him
shit.
Back in his oath.
And let me tell you what being like that will allow you to do. Being a man's man will allow you to be like Ray Lewis and get away with possible murder. Being a man's man will allow you to be able to do like Jim Brown and get away with possible murder. Because men's men get away with a lot of shit. Am I wrong?
I mean, if you all, and if I go even further than that, you know, it's the Ray Lewis, I go even further than that, Ray Caruth. Ray's going to see a lot of
day.
Well, he's eventually going to be walking at some point. He's eventually going to
see. Ray Caruth was another one of them guys raised by his mama to be pretty and light-skinned. He wasn't raised to handle the money he had. And he didn't have money. He was making $300,000 a year and had a girl actually say, I'm going to break you of $300,000. She wasn't even smart enough to try to say, if I keep fucking with this nigga, I can wait for him to sign that big check.
But you attract people to yourself like yourself.
Yep.
So when you're petty and small and you pick around and whatnot, you're going to sit up here and bring in other people who are petty and small. Niggas fight over a little bit, man. And you
yeah,
know,
like
one of
the people who are coming after me, I'm not rich, I don't make no money, but they just want to get what little fame I have, which is nothing, which is stupid to me. At least wait till I get bigger, like you said. The other guy was fucking with the president. He wasn't fucking with the motherfucking dog catcher in Atlanta.
You know, after Hurricane Katrina down there in New Orleans, Arthel Neville was talking about her dad's house, Aaron Neville, of the Neville brothers, the house got vandalized and broken into and stuff stolen. And she was like, I've always said, you know, this is what's wrong with black people because we fight over crumbs. It's not like we're fighting over the big steak and the big meal. We'll sit up here and scrap over crumbs. And that's what we do. We're not even concerned about going to the big dance. Where are the crumbs at? We will slug it out and fight to the death over that. No wonder you can't make any progress.
Right, because this woman lost her life and fucked up her child's life over $300,000 a year. That wasn't even guaranteed. He was making $300,000 a year. But to her, that was, oh, my God, this is everything. The white girl refused to marry Roy Williams, and he was making $5 million a year. And that white piece of trash felt like she could get another nigga that make $5 million a year. The white girl that was with Terrell Owens. The one that was on his show, she didn't marry Terrell Owens and didn't have no babies by him. Do you know what that bitch did for a living? She waited tables.
But, you know, like, from my point about Ray was that, you know, this is one fella who he puts other dummies up. At least he was smart enough to put other dummies up to be his crash dummies and whatnot. He's eventually going to walk out of that place at some point.
Yeah.
And this that kind of just goes around. Had she been smarter, she wouldn't have been messing with him in the first place. You're a young woman who supposedly all these people say got so much going for you. You know, Tommy, I'm just a firm believer, and I don't care what anybody says. I'm a firm believer that people show you what kind of person they are. And you didn't just wake up one day and Ray Caruth knows these three killers who could blow your head off. And it's just you didn't just wake up. You didn't just piss him off, and then Tuesday morning he found these three hitters. He already knew these dudes. He was already rolling with them. He was already tight. He was tight enough. I mean, you know, Tommy, it's hard enough for you and me to get somebody to give us a drive to the store to pick up some bread. But to get somebody to say, hey, will you kill this broad? Now, you know, you got to be in with somebody for you to say, hey, let's do somebody. And they say, yeah, I'll be there. So if he was able to say that and he was that tight with them, they didn't just pop up out of thin air. She saw him with them before.
And for him to do it for as little as they said he was doing it for? The nigga did it for like $500.
Yeah. I mean, you know his rep. You know these people he's with. You know who he's down with. This was not a big surprise to you when you saw these dudes shooting at you. If she saw who it was who shot her through that window, she knew who it was. Oh, you're one of Ray's friends.
That's why she was able to tell them Ray Caruth got me killed.
Yeah, even without seeing Ray do anything. Yeah, I know these dudes. Those are Ray's friends. Y'all are the ones with Ray at the club.
Say it.
And this is what we do here. We sit up here and put ourselves in the trick bags. Other people don't have to put us there. We put ourselves there. And
that's
for
why
what?
Those women, but that's why I tell those women, like those Colonel of Wisdoms and all them crazy people who go to the field blunts and they just be so glad that somebody talk about me. That's weird. I'm like, Colonel of Wisdom, I don't know you. It's been months since we've ever spoken. Why would you go to every video that talks about me and gang up with them people? Well, what do you get out of that? But that's the crazy part about black people. We believe that the enemy of our enemy is our friend. White people understand the enemy of my enemy is a pawn I can use, but he's still my enemy.
Well, they've cultivated the ability to exercise power. We as black people are so damn petty. Dr. John Henry Clark said it best. We are a people who suffer from a disease of ego starvation. And as long as we can get a little credit, a little attention, a little pat on the head, we will sit up here and make $500 a year and be happy as long as the entertainment producer lets us be the ones in front of the camera. He'll make $500 million a year, and we won't breathe a word about it. As long as we're famous, we don't give a damn about progress, prosperity, decency, as long as we're famous. And this is how they've been screwing us in the entertainment business forever. And as soon as they figured out that niggas are happy dancing the jig, and as long as people cheer our names, we walk in the room, the Jewish fellas and the Italian fellas and the Asian fellas and the Arab fellas have been walking off with billions, and we're walking dying broke. Sherman Hemsley just got, I guess the situation is just getting decided now, that this man can be buried. Died back in August, I think it was. And they're just now figuring out if he can be buried. Now, wait till you find out.
James Brown.
Wait a minute, but wait till you find out about what it is with Sherman Hemsley, about Sherman Hemsley's estate. Give me just 3 seconds here, Tommy. Give me 3 seconds here. I just want to ask a question to everybody out there. Do you know how much Sherman Hemsley was worth, how much his estate was worth when he died? Just give me 3 seconds. One, two, three.
$50,000. $50,000?
Look it up for yourself. His estate was worth $50,000. In other words, Tommy Sotomayor is going to die with more assets than her, Sherman Hemsley.
Oh, my God. 50 grand? Hey, do you know Neil Carter died in debt?
Yes. James Brown, same thing. Red Fox, same thing. Richard Pryor, you get the damn drift. Well, wait a minute. What did all of those
Junior
men...
Jr. had to have his friends pay for his funeral.
What did all those black men have in common? Same home life. Take a look at their mamas.
Oh, my God.
The
little boy who just died, the little midget guy whose parents was fucking him over out his money when he was making money, he died broke, too.
No. Okay, Gary Coleman's been dead for a minute. Sorry. I hope you're talking about Gary Coleman if you mean him. And, yeah, broke is a joke.
Oh, my God.
This is what you raise your children for. So, I mean, after all those decades, this man's a TV icon. But wait a minute. That's not the saddest part. The saddest part is not that he died only worth $50,000. The saddest part is he's been waiting to get buried for 3 months because some nigga done jumped up out of Texas talking about, I'm Sherman's half-brother.
I want
and
that 50 grand.
He filed a lawsuit saying, wait a minute, I'm Sherman's half-brother, and anything that's out there, I should get a piece of that. And they've been waiting 3 months to bury this man. Niggas fighting over crumbs. Are you serious, dude? He's worth 50 G's. He didn't own the Jeffersons. He was a paid employee of the Jeffersons.
Gee whiz.
And if there is any money out there, you ain't going to get it, but we're going to keep Sherman from being buried for what? For what? $50,000? Here, take the damn thing. Like, that's really going to do something for you. Like, like we're fighting over the Jackson estate or something.
But then the cast of Happy Days sued and won $100 million because they said that their shit was being played and they wasn't getting money for it. Again, how white people do business?
Go look up the story of the Three Stooges when they found out about residuals. Because this was back young, right after World War II. They didn't even know what residuals were. And once they found out what it was, they went back and got their bread. Now, maybe this guy's trying to make a play like that or whatever, but I'm just saying, dude, seriously, $50,000. These black men work for decades, make money for decades, do all this work for decades. They're the most famous people in the world, and they die with nothing.
and the white men behind them have legacies and estates so large. Ted Turner is the single largest landowner in America, second only to the United States government. That man damn near owns the state of Montana and has damn near made a ranch out the whole damn state. That's what he's done. Now, that's what he did with his millions, turned it into billions, and now he can practically sit here and tell you, you come to the state of Montana, Tommy, get out. No. I mean, get out. It's my state. Get out. You can't sit there on Wilshire Boulevard and tell a white man, get out. And he can tell you, get out the state of Montana.
But think about this. How big do you think Kim Basinger is? Do you know the name?
Yes. Was married to Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
A little bit nutty, a little bit slutty.
Yeah, I always thought she was sexy. Do you know that bitch bought a city here in Georgia? She bought a whole city called Braselton. Now, you not think this bitch got that kind of money. That bitch bought a city.
Well, that's what you do with your investment money. That's what they do with their investment money.
Exactly.
Niggas never get that far. niggas never get that far because Sherman Hemsley died worth $50,000. Niggas have wasted $50,000 on rims. We'll waste $50,000 on a paint job.
And then somebody said, "Yeah, but she sold it." As they say, "Yeah, but she
at
sold
least
it."
She can...
I said, "Yeah, but three times as much as she bought it for."
Here's my point, though. Even if she did sell it, at least she could buy it.
That's what I'm saying. And at least if she thought as much to buy a city.
Show me some niggas who can buy the house next door. Forget the city. Can you buy the block? And you hating on her for the city? Can you buy the block?
We own the block and killing for that block. If they put the block up for sale, it wouldn't be a nigga could buy it. If they put a block up for auction right now, Young Jeezy, Mr. 17.5, could not outbid somebody else. A white man would come by it. Don't believe me? Who the fuck owns Death Row right now? Did any one of them niggas go back and buy it? Why didn't Dre go back and buy it? Snoop.
It was sold for 20. Dr. Dre, Andre Young made Forbes magazine estimates, and please understand this, people. When you hear about people's incomes, we do not actually know what their incomes are. These are very good estimates by accountants who work for these magazines and whatnot based on the numbers that they see. But Dre last year, we estimate, made somewhere around $110 million off of his Beats trademark thing, what he's doing with that. About $110 million. Now, here's my point about that. We know he had significantly more than that when Death Row went under. But Death Row sold for $24 million to this little white lady and her company. $24 million. $24 million. Most of what Tupac had is owned by these people now. You can make it, but you can't even own it.
Exactly.
Even if you're making money off of it, you can't even own it. And how long is it going to be before her children muscle his children out of it?
But think about it. Why wouldn't that have been the first thing Dr. Dre brought when he bought, when he's got all his chronic shit under there in their catalog? He hasn't had access to his chronic shit since Suge Knight had muscled him out. He had a chance to buy it, and he didn't.
Well, he has his eyes on other things, but we as black people have been taught, we as black people, and particularly black men, have been taught that legacy doesn't matter. That we don't have, we're so used to losing that we don't mind losing our inheritances four and five times over. Legacy doesn't matter to us.
And that's what somebody just said. Somebody just wrote, they said, oh, he don't want that because he got aftermath. And I was like, why wouldn't the fuck would he want both? I mean, Michael Jackson didn't say, I don't want the Beatles catalog because I got my own.
We as black people don't think that way. I mean, but that attitude that you just saw right there, that's it right there. If you all want to know why we have not made more progress than we have, there you go. One person saying, let's go down and get Bob everything. Another person saying, well, I got this Coke in my hands.
Yes, I got enough. When
why
it comes
should I buy
to fucking with white people's shit, we say we got enough. Because we don't believe we should be able to, I'm sorry, listen. We don't believe we should be able to own as much as white people. We don't. We get scared when we own a little bit of something. That's why we don't want to own a little bit of something, because it seems like there's work involved in ownership. There's less work involved in being an employee. There's more work involved in being an owner. Why the fuck do you think Magic Johnson got to the place where he's at? Because one, he had a mom and a daddy. Two, he believed in owning a lot of shit.
And it's not just about that. It's you're very right about ownership. Ownership is important because we as black people have been taught we don't have to own anything. That's why you're in Section 8 housing. That's why you rent your whole life, because we were told we don't have to own anything. But more than that, the next component of that is we are taught not to risk anything.
The Bible was talking about black people when it talked about the three men with the talents. And one man buried his talent and waited for the master to come back and told him, why should you make more money off my work? I just buried the money you gave me and give you back what you gave me when you came back. You're right. We don't want to rip. And white people have said, white people say that that person was a black person and that's why he was cursed. And his seed was cursed.
Nobody has to come and take anything out of our hands. All they have to do is tell us, you could have three times as much as you have now, but there's a chance you could lose what you got. And we'll get up and walk off on our own. We don't believe in risking anything that is worthwhile. Now, let me put that caveat on that sentence. We don't believe in risking anything that is worthwhile. How many black men in this listening to this broadcast right now have had unprotected sex with some janky, questionable broad in the last 5 years?
Well, I can answer that. I can answer that for you because I'm one of those guys that have had sex with a jank. But the point is, we won't risk something. We like things that make us feel good right now. So we'll do things for right now because we don't honestly believe that there is a future for us. We believe that probably the best is what we got that day. That's why we'll fuck some random chick, because we don't ever think that one day we might have a shot at a fine-ass bitch with no kids. That's why we'll sit up there and have a baby with a bitch already got babies. That's the best we could get that day. And we live for today. Let's bring in some people, let them talk with us, because I know a lot of people want to jump in and talk. Let me bring in Vicky. Let's get some black women. They don't want them to have it all, be all black men. Let's bring in Vicky. Or just get some women. We don't know what Vicky is. Vicky could be a white woman. Vicky, what's going on?
Hey, I'm not white. I'm black. Hey, I'm not
white. Oh, that's disappointing. I mean, hello. How you doing?
Are you disappointed? Why?
I'm just messing with you.
That's about. I don't even know what I've been on the phone since you started. I don't even know what I'm just listening, really. I've been on hold for a while.
Well, I'm going to ask you as a woman, because we're talking about the main subject of the day is we're trying to ask, do women want equality over do they want equality or do they want superiority? And the reason I ask that question is because a lot of the laws are bent towards the women. And I just want to see if I can get some women to admit that the laws are bent to make you superior to men, and especially when it comes to black men, because when women say they want equality, well, black men have never been over black women, so it's weird to hear black women say they want equality when they've always been over black men. Let me ask you, are you like one of those feminists? Do you believe that women have a long way to go and that, you know, they're still under the foot of men?
Okay, let me say this. Okay, I'm not like 100% educated. I was actually, you were talking to someone else, or it was some other people on the phone, and you were talking about like child support. So that's originally why I called in. But
let's
I just
get on it,
follow.
Girl. Get on it. I love to hear women's opinion of child support.
Okay, well, let me finish. Okay, so I just started following you about like a month ago. So, I mean, I like what you're doing, and, you know, I don't have any negative things to say about you. I think it's good. I like to hear all the men talking and hearing their opinions. I've kind of just been chilling, listening to you guys. But with the child support thing, it was kind of more of a situation that just happened. I don't have any kids, but it's with my boyfriend and his ex-wife. So I just was throwing that in there. Okay, so this is what happened. He told me, so he got divorced. He had divorced about 3 years ago, and in the divorce decree, he had in there where she couldn't get him for child support. So today he called me and said that child support just took $500 or $600 out of his check. And I'm like, how? I thought that was in the divorce decree. He said it is, but his ex-wife had Medicaid on the kids. He told her to take the Medicaid off, because he had insurance for his job with the kids, but she just didn't do it. I guess she was too lazy to do it, and they still took the money out.
So you got to pay for basically her being on welfare.
Exactly, but it was no need for her to be on welfare because the kids had insurance, and he sends her money he sends her money, and he just didn't want to go through the court, which is understandable. And he takes care of his kids, and every time they get into an argument, she threatens, like, I'm going to...
Yep.
And I'm just like, what? You know, that's ridiculous.
You know, the only time black women typically understand where people like myself and Jason are coming from is two situations. One, if their son is being railroaded by the system. Two, if their man is being railroaded by the system.
Right.
Other than that, they be like, that's why if you watch them online, you've seen it. Every time a story come up, he a deadbeat. He shouldn't mind paying. They sit up there and actually got stories out there now about Chad Johnson that he bought something, that he went shopping, and the first thing I saw underneath that damn post was black women saying, the nigga shouldn't be behind on his child support, deadbeat. They call a nigga deadbeat in a minute when they got a credit score of 420.
Exactly.
What about Fantasia? Nobody sits up here and monitors her buying habits, and she's strung out and got kids. You're falling all over the place and strung out and got children. Nobody's sitting up here saying, you know, you need to be taking care of your damn kids.
Ooh.
Nobody says that.
Ooh.
All right. Exactly. And that's why I'm 28. I don't have any kids. I don't want any kids until I'm married. I'm not married, but these women out here is crazy.
Let me ask you, how does it make you feel knowing that you're with a man who, because men like me, we come with ties, and those ties are baby's mamas, and our baby's mamas are unstable molecules. One day they could be great, the next day they could reach critical mass. That's just the truth, and people get mad when I talk about women with kids, but I tell you now, it's worse for a man with kids, because at least a woman with kids has control over it. A man with kids like myself, we don't have no control. So one day you dating me, it could be going great. The next day, the bitch could have me in jail. The bitch could tell me you can't see your kid. Now I'm crying in your arms at night. Anything could happen. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel knowing that you went through this little bit? Does it make you a little tenuous about going farther with him?
Just not to talk about my whole life and everything, but we're pretty much about to be over anyways. But, you know, I feel like I've always dated older men, and which a lot of women do. You know, my parents are like, you know, stop talking to these older men. But I'm definitely not really into men with kids. And I think it's a possibility. It's just too much drama out here, you know, because a lot of men have to deal with women with kids. So, and they say that I don't want a woman with no kids and all this stuff. That's how I am. I'm like, I don't want no man with kids.
And you shouldn't want one a nigga like me, because a nigga like me is irresponsible. Let me say this again. A nigga like me was irresponsible.
Right.
And if you were responsible with your body and your understanding of what Jason said, which is you don't want to have kids if you haven't built wealth. Why would you want to bring kids into a situation, especially most of us as black people, we grew up in homes where there was not wealth. Why would we want to continue to do that with children?
Exactly. And I've been knowing this since I was, you know, my early 20s and teens. Like, there's no way possible that that's happening.
Well, Tommy, you asked the question, why are these kids here? You asked this question once before. Well, why are these kids here? And the kids are here for completely self-serving reasons. How many times have you heard some broke down, bust down from a housing project, and you ask them why they got kids, and the first answer that falls out of their ignorant mouth is, well, I wanted someone to love me unconditionally. Like you are obligated or entitled to be loved by somebody.
You know,
like you have a right to create people to love you as if you're so special that you are entitled to be loved.
You know who sells that dream, right? Corporations. Corporations sell that dream. That's why they tell you in the beer commercial, if you drink beer, a bunch of hoes will come around. They just bitches pop up when you got a Miller Lite. You ever notice that? You ever notice how niggas just show up with diamonds on a diamond commercial and every kiss begin with K?
Yep.
These people in the world to be delusional, to feel like they are entitled to something. Because you know what people who feel like they're entitled to something don't do? They don't work. They wait for it to be given. You want a society of people who want something to be given to them, because in order to disseminate something, you need someone to disseminate it. And white people or rich people always want to be the disseminators of information, of wealth, of health. Tell me I'm lying at any point, and I'll say I'll stop.
They have no problem whatsoever selling out the image.
Who's giving out health? Who's giving out these booster shots that the kids don't need? That's killing. That's killing. What is it? 3% of the people they giving to? Some high ass ridiculous number, and nobody pays any attention. Why is it that nobody pays attention to the fact that the infant mortality rate in the United States is as high as some third world countries? Do people even know what that is?
Do they even care? The children are hood ornaments.
That's right.
Well, I can ask you where you were last Saturday. Everybody saw you at the club. We don't know who your kids were with. They're hood ornaments. They don't care about these children. No wonder and this is why these children, what you reap is what you sow. No wonder these children won't even make it to the age of 15. It can bust your damn head open and rob you for $5. But this is what you send out into the world.
Sheeple is an overused term, but an underused term as well. Sheeple is overused. I see people saying it all the time, and I'd be like, I don't even think they really understand how powerful that phrase is. Everyone is waiting to be led. A long time ago, a psychologist realized that 90% of people on the planet are looking to be led and are not fit to be leaders. When you realize that, you realize that everybody else is just pawns, like on Wall Street. You can make money off of these people's need to be led.
And
a
this
church
is
something that is a commodity-less entity, yet it is a billion-dollar, trillion-dollar industry.
And that's one of the saving graces of this form of government, for example. I mean, could you imagine? I just want everybody to think about this, because people can come up with all the conspiracy theories they want to about the government. The president is elected, not selected. Yeah, David Icke, I understand that. It's selected, not elected, whatever. And you can say that everywhere you want to, but could you imagine what this place would look like? I mean, if everything was just a straight democracy where everybody was allowed to vote, and everybody could just decide by a majority stake what would happen, who would have what. Could you imagine what kind of situation we'd have right now if you had a true democracy?
Mm-hmm.
With these people who cannot make this, these people cannot decide who the hell to have children with.
Say it.
And yet you're going to give them control of the entire nation and thus the entire world. You couldn't keep your mouth off the scrotum of a random stranger at a dance club. What makes you think that you've got the ability to decide where society's going?
That's why people like Vicky make me happy. She said, oh, I like Dick. I like this man. I don't want to get no baby by him. I'm good on that.
And that's just incredibly smart. You shouldn't feel sad about that at all. I'm 36, so is Tommy. And we're sitting back here looking back and telling you, hey, I don't have any children either. And I'm telling you, you've made the right decision. Because as soon as you start getting desperate, as soon as that happens, you're going to start making major mistakes. Because people who get desperate start looking for shortcuts. And the problem is there is no shortcut to success. You get there the right way or you don't get there.
And before I go on to another call, I just want to ask Vicky. Vicky, you're going to stay on here and join us because we're going to keep talking about this. But I just want to ask you a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get women who are giving you praise for not having children, or do you get women who ask you, why don't you have children?
I would say both.
It just depends. I would say that it just depends on who it is, because I've seen people ridicule women like her, and I've seen them praise women like her. It just depends on who she runs into.
Well, and that's what's scary, though. That's what I wanted to say to Vicky. We need more people in the black community to praise people who do the right thing, instead of somehow ridiculing them. Whenever a woman's living her life with natural hair, the other black women fuck with her. Whenever a woman has no kids, they ask her what's wrong. I've seen men ask women who say they don't have no kids and they're in their 30s, and the man doesn't ask, why aren't you married? He'll ask, why don't you have kids?
Right. That's so true, because I'm not married, and I'm glad I'm not, to the guy who I'm with now. And, you know, everyone, all the women in my family and friends around me, like, why are you not married? Because I don't want to be. That's why.
And it's simple. In our community, when a white girl hits 30, they ask her, why isn't she married?
Mm-hmm.
That white people actually understand that a woman ages to a certain point, and after that age, mm-hmm. things become difficult. I've listened to black women in their 40s with 3 kids who still believe they are just as valuable as a woman in her 30s with no kids. They can compete with you and can end up fucking the same men as you. Does that not bother you, Vicky, when you can see you are a commodity, but the men you get, women that ain't shit, have access to those exact same men?
Right, exactly. It's bad.
It's almost like you have no reason to save yourself because the whore can get a good man too.
I got to interject there. I'm not 100% certain about that, because anybody can use the hose and whatnot. I think that once you have a certain shelf life, and, you know, what these young girls who are getting these children early do not understand is that once you make that decision, you don't get to walk back from that decision. Once you do that, the most eligible men, Prince Charming just got on his horse and rode off.
Well, hold on, here's what I'm saying, though. And I'm not saying Chad Johnson was a good dude, but why the fuck was he trying to marry an old whore?
Because she
reminded old whore.
Because she reminded him of his mother.
That's what I'm saying. In the black, it doesn't work for white people. That's why I was telling her. It works for black people, though. Men have settled down over and over in the black community with a bitch with somebody else's kids that won't have none for you. Tell me I'm lying.
You take a look at all these dudes in the NFL who they mess around with white women. The white women are not stupid enough to get children by this dude because she understands this nigga is going to be broke in 5 years. That's why she won't have children with him. Because she understands that. And that's why she got the ring from Mr. Dallas Cowboy and didn't have no children with Mr. Dallas Cowboy. She got the ring.
I ain't gonna get no babies by this nigga. He gonna be broke in 5 years.
O.J. Simpson showed Nicole, hey, the money ain't going nowhere. I got it locked up. I'm making movies. I'm doing hurts. She said, oh, yeah, I got to put handcuffs on him. Yeah, we're going to get a child by him. Kim Kardashian's sisters, they didn't get a couple of dumbass NBA players. At least they grabbed a couple of dudes who are pretty smart, and they're not going to. The problem is that the thing is not going to end up instantly broke. So, yeah, you're going to put handcuffs on him quick. But as far as the other 99% of them Rudy Poo dumbasses out there, hell no. You take the money and run. Let him buy you a Porsche. Let him buy you a Bentley. Take a few pictures so you can make your girlfriends envious, and then send his ass down the road so you can get you a white man who's a football fan and doesn't have a problem taking some broke NFL play, washed up NFL players' leftovers. That's the way that works. Same thing with Tiger Woods.
And a white man will take an old bitch that used to fuck Kobe because he a fan of Kobe, and white men like being fans of shit. They'll literally fuck a bitch that used to be a groupie for Kiss, long as she didn't have no kids by Kiss.
Take a look at Tiger Woods. I mean, those females, they slept with him, they got money from him, they got everything else, and as soon as they were done,
they didn't get no money from him.
No, what she's saying is like, what he's saying is simple money. You know, he buy them gifts and shit.
Okay.
Yeah, they weren't trying to become Mrs. Tiger Woods. As soon as they got their notoriety, they had the wow factor of being next to him. But as soon as that was it, oh, you got to go back to your wife now. You can't stay over here. You got to go back to her. Wasn't none of them females trying to lock him down?
That's why Monica Lewinsky was willing to suck the president's dick. But she wasn't trying to lay down and let him come in, huh?
And he wasn't trying to get her pregnant either.
There it is.
He was the most powerful man in the world. He was not going to sit there. As I said before, babies are power to a woman. The most powerful man in the world does not become the most powerful man in the world by being dumb enough to give all his power away to somebody else. Hillary Clinton has one child.
Oh.
Understand that. Hillary Clinton has one child, and Michelle Obama has two. When was the last time you saw a president with three kids?
JFK, and that's because he was Catholic.
You had some since then, but they didn't get reelected.
It was usually their religion which caused them to have the children, though. It was like that was their religion. That was their background. That's hence why they had the children. But even then, you didn't see Mitt Romney, and he was allowed to fuck other bitches. He don't have no other kids outside of his marriage.
Nope. And he has a religion that says you can get away with doing that. But what did he show you? You did not sit up here and found one of the most powerful hedge fund companies and venture capital fund companies in the world by not understanding power. And he understands power is not inclusive. It is exclusive. And that includes with the children and the woman you're laying with.
Exactly. And if it does not benefit you, and people don't understand, white men don't even have kids if there's no benefit. A lot of them are having kids because there's a political gain that they can get from it. Seriously. They will walk into it and say, I don't really love this bitch, but I'll marry this bitch because there's a political gain and a wealth situation at hand. Not a rich situation, but a wealth situation at hand.
They were concerned that Ronald Reagan couldn't get elected because he was a divorcee. Now, this man divorced his first wife, I think it was Jane Wyman, and then married Nancy Reagan because he understood he could not be president of the United States being a single man.
Look at
you
how
could be governor of California. You couldn't be
Newt
president.
Gingrich got married and Giuliani got married just so they can run for president.
Just so they could say, look, here's my wife. Don't worry about the whores and the strippers and the side pieces. Here's my wife right here. That was completely and totally that way. And as soon as the game was over, they were done. Take a look at Al Gore. As soon as he's lost the bid for president, that's it. Tipper, get the hell out of here. This hose changed. Bill had him in the 90s. In the 2000s, it's all about me. And that's it. And that's exactly the way it went. That's exactly the way it went.
You're right. And if you see how John Edwards got relegated to nothing, white men look at him like he's stupid for getting that damn side baby. You're an idiot. It don't matter how much money you got, you're an idiot. And the woman who got you the money, you ran out, and that let you know John Edwards is not a part of the establishment. That woman put him on. That woman got him the way he was at. And he was a dumbass. And they looked at him now. John Edwards is a joke to white people. Let me say this again. John Edwards is a joke to white people. But what did he do different than any black man has done?
Now, you know, what we're saying here might sound callous and might sound so superficial, but understand something, people. What we just described for you is the very best thing you can do for your family.
Yep.
Because what you just heard was articulated family planning. You know why you are with this woman, you know what to expect from this woman, and you can clearly define what you are going to do for her and for these children. And when you get in your head that you're going to live on love, this is why the black community is screwed up the way it is today, because we're sitting up here having babies. We're falling in love every other week and having babies with somebody we're in love with every other week. No damn plan, no agenda, no strategy, no long-term goal, just hose up, pimp down, and off we go. And wondering why the damn place is a slum.
Fuck love is what I always say. Hey, y'all, we're going to come to a break. We're going to go back. We're going to come back with more of my girl Vicky, my man. Jason Black and all of these phone calls. Everybody's going to come in here because we got a lot of people who want to talk. We're going to get to Eugene. We're going to get to Soriano. We're going to get to we're going to get to DJ Spoon, Sean. The motherfucking lines is full. New Noir, Maurice, Lisa, everybody. We're going to get to all of y'all. We're going to come back with Tina. Damn, this is a big show, and everybody got something to say. So we're going to talk about this and more when we come back. You guys stay tuned. Y'all know who I am. Y'all know what this is. This is your world.
We'll be back faster than it takes Mel Gibson to ruin a marriage and a career. Your world, my views. Keep it locked.
It's the way you bring out the sun. It's the way you make it all fun.
Know who makes the day sunny? My mom and Sunny D. I love the taste. Mom loves the vitamin C. And now it has 40% fewer calories than most regular soda brands. Sunny D.
Drink up and download free music. Find out more at sunnyd.com.
It's new! It's nice and easy color blend foam. Permanent color with tones and highlights now in a delightful foam. Just reshape, foam it, love it. It's fantastic. New nice and easy color blend foam. Your right color.
Nobody saw it coming. Not even me. But I think they call this family time. I won't tell them that. Get the Wii console plus Mario Kart Wii, a Wii wheel accessory, and more. Now for just $149.99. Rated E for everyone.
I'm Phil Mickelson, pro golfer. If you have painful, swollen joints, I've been in your shoes. One day I'm on top of the world. The next I'm saying,
I have this thing called psoriatic arthritis. I had some intense pain. It progressively got worse.
My rheumatologist told me about Enbrel. I'm surprised how quickly my symptoms have been managed.
Because Enbrel suppresses your immune system, it may lower your ability to fight infections. Serious, sometimes fatal events, including infections, tuberculosis, lymphoma, other cancers, and nervous system and blood disorders have occurred. Before starting Enbrel, your doctor should test you for tuberculosis and discuss whether you've been to a region where certain fungal infections are common. Don't start Enbrel if you have an infection like the flu. Tell your doctor if you're prone to infections, have cuts or sores, have had hepatitis B, have been treated for heart failure, or if while on Enbrel, you experience persistent fever, bruising, bleeding, or paleness.
Get back to the things that matter most.
Good job, girl.
Ask your rheumatologist if Enbrel is right for you.
Don't worry, Lucky. These Wheat Thins Crunch Sticks will save us. Look!
Wheat Thins Crunch Sticks. Try our new flavors.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Tommy Sotomayor. This is a message to the loyal following out there. You know and I know there's nothing better than a nice, well-dressed man in a suit. Now, with the budgets being as tight as they are, a lot of people cannot afford a nice suit. Well, that's untrue, because my friends at CustomSuitShop.com have made the custom suit available and affordable for all price ranges and all budgets. That's right. Go to CustomSuitShop.com. They believe that they're witnessing the return of the elegant gentleman. And they are dressing up again. They want clothing that fits right and is comfortable and looks great and makes a value statement. That's what my man Louis Morgan of CustomSuitShop.com wants everyone to know. See, what they can do is they can come to your home, perform 20 key measurements, and then hook you up with a custom suit. You know people getting tired of wearing suits off the rack. Not saying there's nothing wrong with suits off the rack, but how would you like to have a custom suit made to fit you, the way your body contours, the way you move? That's what you can get at the Custom Suit Shop. Go to CustomSuitShop.com. There are three locations. They have one in Marietta at 1395 South Marietta Parkway, Building 100. One in Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, South Towers. Then they have another one in Birmingham, Alabama. That's right. Three locations where you can get your custom suit made. So go to CustomSuitShop.com and make sure that you mention Tommy Sotomayor sent you. CustomSuitShop.com, where with prices like these, you can't afford not to look good. Just log on at CustomSuitShop.com. That's CustomSuitShop.com. And call at 404-869-3113 if you're in the Atlanta area. If you're in the Birmingham area, call at 205-541-9469. And if you're in the Charlotte area, call 704-552-3690. And tell them Your World My Views sent you.
And now, back to the man who loves all of his fans, except the ones playing hard to get. Your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor. Got my man, Jason Black, in here with me. And want to make sure that you guys come out to see me on the 30th. I will be live here at a single symposium here in Atlanta. Then I will be in Houston a week later. So come out and see me. I'm going to come out and see you guys. I'm going to come out and support me. Because I'm going to come out and support you guys. You know the number. It's 347-989-8310. Let me bring in some of these phone callers here, because I got a lot of stuff to get off my plate, and I'm up here trying to stall because I'm supposed to be pressing something, and I don't know if I'm doing it right yet. Let me make sure it's... Hold on a second. Let me see if I'm doing this right. This is ghetto. I'm supposed to be doing something. I can't hear something. So I don't know if I'm doing something right or not. And I don't know why. Let me make sure I got see if Jason and them are still on the line. Because I don't see them. Are they still there? Let me see. Okay, I see Vicky. Vicky, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, good deal. And I can hear you now. Good job. Now, let me see if I see Jason. There he is. Jason, can you hear me?
Yes, I was just wondering if at your event you were going to have anti-simp security.
I know. That's what I'm I told him. I said, y'all got to make sure y'all have security because I bring my own with me.
I'm just thinking to myself, if people have a chance to meet you in person, I can just see a bunch of big, fat, buck-toothed, giant, bell pepper nose, pink boa-wearing niggas sitting out front talking about, we hate him. We hate him. He talked to our black queen. We hate him.
But you know what's funny? I've realized every time people get to meet me, all that hate goes away. Like that clown, when I went to Houston, I didn't get nothing but love. When I had the thing down here with Neffy, I didn't get nothing but love. Typically, when I go somewhere, but I still don't trust because it only takes one idiot. That's the bad part about it. It only takes one idiot.
Well, he smokes blunt, so we know he won't be moving very quick.
And the fact that the nigga tried to tell me I shouldn't be mad at him because he's actually helping me. Brothers are helping brothers get more famous.
He's got to get out of his mama's basement before he can do anything to you. So he's on the short list, on the long list of problems.
Oh yeah, those niggas that don't even know what a frequent flyer is. I know they're not going to do anything. Like I literally would have to bring myself not only to their neighborhood but probably to their house for them to do something to me.
You probably have to chase them down in the basement.
That's the sad part about it. I always tell women, but that goes back to what we're talking about, family planning. Why are you dealing with a man that way? To me, any woman willing to fuck a man making videos about another man over and over again, you deserve whatever you get. You deserve Dr. Phil Blunt. If you would sit there and literally entertain this guy, because he's only doing it because he thinks women will entertain him. That's the only reason why a black man pretty much like that does anything. Because he assumes women will entertain him. And if women say we won't entertain you doing that, they'll stop doing it.
You know what? Let me put a caveat on what you just said. You shouldn't have a man who runs around making a bunch of videos about another dude if it ain't making him no money. If he's making some change off of it, that I can understand. If he's doing this pro bono, he's crazy for doing it and you crazy for being with him. He's just doing it because he's bored, and you're sitting there like an episode of Intervention, boo-hooing and talking about you wish he wasn't doing it? Really?
But that's what I said. I even said it to him. I said, that's the part of what you're doing, sir, that doesn't make sense. I said, sir, you're literally doing all of this work for free. The only thing you're getting is more Twitter followers and a few more views. But it's free. Why would you do that? For free. You're not building a brand that way because no real man is going to fuck with another man talking about another man's criminal history. That is something that a black man looks at and says, well, that's kind of stupid because we got something like that. That isn't a turn on to say you're exposing this. I keep saying it. That's why black men got mad at Kobe. You can't tell on a nigga and say he cheated on his girl and expect me to say yeah.
Well, I mean, bring me some news. Don't bring me a vendetta. Bring me some news, okay? Exactly. If you're going to be talking about somebody, tell me something I didn't know yesterday. You've just been talking about the same thing. That's some ho stuff right there. A female sits up here and gets mad at somebody and runs them down for 3 years all day every day, talking about what they did 2 years ago all day every day. You're supposed to be a man, dude. You're supposed to be better than that.
That's what I'm saying. I would even look at him and say, sir, what does that any of that have to do with you? That's what's scary. You'd say, okay, you're exposing something that the man exposed about himself 4 years ago when he started doing the show and explain that that's why he started doing the show, which doesn't make any sense. The whole premise behind my show was based upon that. I talk about it all the time. So if you keep saying it, what is your purpose? And for the people who've never heard of me, for them to say, oh, no. But you didn't know me in the first place. You would have known this if you had been a listener. So you're just pointing out that you're not a listener. And for this man to do this should make any woman, first off, say, these are the men who we don't want around us. These are the men who are leaving us with kids and not helping us. These are the men who are not paying a fucking light bill in the house. He don't pay no bill in the house. He just the man with blunts all the time. He don't even sell weed. He just always got blunts.
Well, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and get into a slugfest with Michael Jordan if he did cheat on his wife. I'm not going to sit up here and get mad at Bill Clinton for cheating on his wife. His wife needs to get mad at him and handle that. But I'm not going to go on a jihad against this man for something that he did to somebody else. At that point right there, that becomes a fixation. Am I disappointed in him? Yeah. Will I use this in judging my future dealings with him? Most likely. But am I going to sit up here and make this my life's work to wage some vendetta against this person who hasn't done anything to me personally? Why would you do something like that? Are you really that antisocial? Are you really that borderline personality? And the answer, unfortunately, is yes.
Yep. Because I would tell anyone, if I do something hypocritical, especially towards the people who are following me, they should know about it. I'm the first one to tell you. If I do something hypocritical, they see me at the club tomorrow night with some white bitch, even though I don't even think that would be hypocritical. Because I keep saying brothers need to get a white chick. But if I was to do that, because they know I only say that in jest. When I say it, it's usually in jest. So if you see me with one, I'd assume, yeah, that's kind of off. If you see me fucking a little boy, molesting some kids, yeah, that would be off because that's the shit I talk about. If you heard me sit around and say a man shouldn't put his hands on a woman, and you found out I put my hands on a woman, you'd be right. If you found out I said you need to go to church every Sunday, and I don't go to church, you'd be right for exposing that. But when you're just saying, I know something that might shame someone, so I'm going to keep saying it over and over again. We would never get anything done because everyone could just talk about something that might shame somebody, especially something that happened 6 years ago. That doesn't make any sense. That's the equivalent of saying no one should grow. No one should get past anything. And I really can't pay you no attention when you got Chris Brown's CD. I can't pay you no attention when you a Young Jeezy fan. At a certain point, it seems wrong. Now I'm getting an echo. Why am I getting an echo? Let's bring in Alexander Leroy, who said he had a lot to talk about. If you guys got the thing playing in the background, if you can, mute it for a minute, because you guys, everybody I called so far is still in. I'm going to bring in Alexander Leroy and Eugene in right quick. I'm going to let Alexander Leroy talk first. What's up, brother? Alexander Leroy, damn it! This nigga been doing all this. I want to talk. Let him in. He's there.
He's been abducted.
That's what I'm saying. You did all this. I want to talk. I got to speak up. Now the nigga ain't got nothing to say. Let me talk to Eugene. What up, Eugene?
What's up, Tommy?
Nothing much. Talk to your boy.
Now, even Jason can verify with this. Black people got this plantation disorder. Notice, like back when slavery was here, black people had this thing where everything is safe on the plantation. But once you get off the plantation, shit get hectic. But as you've seen with Martin Luther King died and all these other great black leaders died, black people just said, "Fuck it, we'll be safe on the plantation," rather than try to do our own thing. And that's what happened with black people today.
Did you know that during the slave times, what the plantation owner would go out and do is take one of the biggest, strongest blacks that it had and shoot it in front of the rest of them?
Yeah, they had a superiority complex.
It would do it in order to show the rest of them, because the fear of death is prevalent within blacks. Jason talked about that. How we don't want to risk anything because we believe our life is so important. Like, if we keep living, we might be, God, Jesus might come back and we won't ever have to die. I'm telling you, that's how all black people live. We live like we're born in the time of Jesus. He's going to come back and we won't ever have to die if we just make it to when he get here.
Yeah, I mean, take a look at the difference in psychology here. You talk about the plantation days and whatnot. Let's just go back to the very beginning. white men founded such phrases as give me liberty or give me death. What's he telling you? The most important thing to him is freedom. If I don't have freedom, who needs life? Take a look at Benjamin Franklin, who coined the phrase, those who would sacrifice liberty for a little temporary security deserve neither their freedom nor their liberty. So what is he telling you? On the plantations, you had what? Security. You knew what to expect. You knew what was expected of you. No risk involved. And he's telling you, well, you sacrificed freedom for security, and now you don't have either. You have neither your freedom nor your security. White people made terms, made phrases like no guts, no glory, you know, to give me liberty and give me death. They're making phrases like that. Black people, have you ever heard a phrase like that come from black people, that there was something more important than just their continued existence?
How about this? Show me somebody that's okay with losing, and I'll show you a loser.
Right. Show me a black person that really talks about legacy.
And this is why they get upset with us. If you
listen to real black people.
Yeah, if you've listened to what I've been able to do, I've been able to talk to Jason and give Jason props for being able to do something I couldn't do. How many black people are able to give another black person props for doing something they didn't do? For giving them credit for being a greater individual than them? White people have been able to succeed power to give it to somebody else that was more deserving.
Exactly.
You couldn't get on Oprah Winfrey's show if you don't kiss her ass. I don't care how rich or famous you are. If you black, you're not going to get on her show unless you're telling her how great she is.
Yep.
And money, that goes for Denzel, Will Smith, the whole damn nine yards. Every black person who's come there has had to kiss the ring and kiss her ass. They can't just sit up there and you powerful and I'm powerful and we okay.
Eugene, I tweeted, let me ask you if you know this guy named Stuart Scott on ESPN.
Yeah, I know Stuart Scott. You did an interview with him.
Yeah, I tweeted him yesterday. I said, it's two types of people that get retweets from Stuart Scott. I said, celebrity blacks and all whites.
Hey, Tom, how do I donate to the show, man? I'm going to give out like $1,000, man. I donate to the show.
Just go to yourworldmyviews.com and click on where it says donate. There should be a donate button up there. I don't know exactly what it looked like. I haven't seen the damn thing. But it's right on yourworldmyviews.com. Go donate. It's right there. It says donate and ads, I think, or something like that. Somebody tell them where it's at. We'll make sure to Ms. Mo get it to you. But I want to ask you another question about what we were talking about, which is black men. And black men, we have gotten to a point where we're not leaders of our home. And we see black women joining the feminist movement. But black men never oppressed them. So do you think black women want to be equal to black men, or do you think they want to be superior to black men? Because we've never oppressed them.
Yeah, exactly. I think overall they want to be superior because they try to fit in as much as the white power. What most white women know about white supremacy is that man is a boys group. It's no such thing as you a woman, you're going to have power. It's a man, it's a boys club. Most black women don't understand that. Like we talk to most black females in sex group, they say they are. Well, I want to get my degree, advance up the ranks, so why can't black men be like me? But what they don't understand is a boys' clubs only. Like, white men won't promote a woman just because she's a woman. They won't promote a black just because she's black. They want to keep that power in the hands of white only, and most black women don't understand that.
I heard an old black man say to me way back in, I think, 98 when I was still in college. And he said something to me that I told him he was wrong, and I argued that old man down. You know, when we fresh in college, we got a degree, you don't, we know more.
He told
me that there'll be a black male president before there'll ever be a white woman president. And I said, bullshit. I said, they'll let a white woman be president, then they'll let a black woman be president before they'll let a black man be president. Because, of course, I was looking at it through my mind's eye that they really hate black men. But then I started to realize the older I got, especially when it happened, I just went back to all the Greek and the Roman societies. they literally shut women out. And Othello was a black man, and they still exactly. let him ascend to power before they let a white woman do it.
Exactly.
Because he is not going to sit here and engender insurrection in his own ranks.
Yes.
But even Jason can verify this. It's a patriotic society where the man always leads, point blank, period. A woman is inferior towards a man. White people know that. I don't give a fuck how smart you is, how many degrees you have. You always going to be inferior towards us. You always going to bow down to us. Point blank,
period.
I think
that's why, and this is why I always look at Barack Obama and think that it took a white woman to raise a black president. She was able to put it in his head even though she was a woman. You are a man. You must demand a certain amount of respect. You cannot be raised by a black woman and believe that about yourself. She will force you to believe you are subservient. Why do you think most of these little black boys sound like hoes when they talk?
But that's exactly what I'm trying to get at. That's why they say king, then queen. They don't say queen, then king.
We as black people, there is not a single successful society. You take a look at your most successful societies, not only throughout history, but throughout the world. All of them have one thing in common, a pecking order.
Yep.
And we as black people are a shambles and a chaos today because there is no damn pecking order. This is why you got 17-year-old boys having sex with 39-year-old women, even though he ain't got a boot to whiz in or a window to chunk it out of. This is why you got black women's, as you say, vagina resumes, all screwed up with doctors, lawyers, and dope fiends all on the same resume. And then you're wondering, what's wrong? She's not respecting the pecking order. He's not respecting the pecking order. This is how you can have a grown man sitting up here saying, I'm big balling in his girlfriend's car. You are not, and talking about, I don't have to make anything. I don't have to do anything. All I have to be is number one at Madden NFL 2012, and I'm the man. He does not understand. That's not the way the pecking order works. Power doesn't respect weakness. We have no concept of a pecking order, thus we don't have any order.
We do have a pecking order. The hens start pecking whenever there's somebody in order. Whenever there's something in order, the hens peck away at it.
Well, I have a
question.
Go ahead, babe.
Okay. Why do you guys think that – I had someone say – well, I heard it. I think it was on YouTube. I'm not sure who said it, but they were like – the two most powerful people on earth are black women and white men. And then just like a couple of weeks ago, this white man was telling me that you can get a job anywhere because they're looking for white men and black women. I mean,
black
what
women's
do you think
power is a mirage. Black
no,
women's
no,
power
no,
is
no.
a mirage. It's not real power. White women have way more power than black women. The difference is white women
have
never
been. I do get it. But what
yeah,
do you
white
think,
women don't. White
do
women
think?
Don't have to force their power because what Jason said earlier, if you didn't hear it, if your man has power, then by proxy you are the queen.
I don't think that black women have power or anything. I'm just trying to figure out what do you think society is trying to do? Like
they
what?
Have pseudo
no,
power, and what
no.
society is trying to do is force that in black women's head. They want black women to believe that their fake power is real power. Because if you do that, you destroy the person who's supposed to try and fight for power, which is their man. Go ahead.
The real reason is because they see black men as a threat. If you look at corporate America, most black men are gay, and most white men look at gay black men as women, so they're not a threat. If you ever see a black man in corporate America with his shit together,
they can't get anywhere. A black man, a straight black man who has his stuff together in corporate America is not going anywhere.
Why do you think
he can't get
Herman Cain that fast? White people were using Herman Cain as a poster boy. They didn't think that he would actually gain the backing he got. But here's what people don't understand. A real black man can literally get anybody to follow him. Don't believe me? Go back to slavery times when there were white women stealing the black men off the plantation and running up north to marry that man. At the face of death, they were running up north to marry black slaves in the face of death.
That's the melody.
No. Now, let me answer something here. Let me answer Vicky's question here, though. Vicky, you asked a question about why is it this promotion of white men and black women. And it's not so much like that. It's number one, as the brother stated, the women are not a threat to them. That's the number one thing. But number two, you also have to understand that if we ever as a people, the last time that black people had any real progress was when we didn't get anything from white society, not from their corporations, not from their government. When we were at our most so-called destitute was when we were actually at our most powerful. And the way that they have kept us subjugated is by flicking a few crumbs here and a few crumbs there. And the females today, do they chase power? No, they chase jobs. They chase a place in the system. They do not want to supplant the system. So you can keep insurrection from happening, just like the Matrix, so long as you tell people, hey, there's a place in the system for you, and here it is. I know I bring up his name a lot, but Dr. John Henry Clark stated it very well when he said that white people will sit up here and they've made it very clear that they will give you everything. They will give you every crown that is out there. They will give you as much money as you want. They will give you as much recognition as you want, as many accolades. They will give you anything that you want so long as you are willing to accept position number two. And you never attempt to encroach on position number one. As long as you do that, they'll give you anything you want. Right. And that's why when you go to Walmart, 80% of the employees are black females, and 0% of the corporate leadership is black female.
Middle management was made for black women. It was made to put black women in higher positions than black men, period. It was put in place so black women would be able to maintain this household with these bastard kids and not need that black man, period.
Affirmative action was made for black women.
Yeah.
No, it's all token.
Hold on, it was made for white women.
Because exactly, because you do have to think about it. Most of these ball players and athletes, white women are get introduced to them. So when they get divorced, that money comes out of the black community and it goes straight to the white community. Because just think about it. Most white women who marry black athletes, when they get divorced, they marry a white man. So that money is funneled out of the black community back to white
hands. I want to disprove that a little bit. There's not a lot of black athletes marrying white women. And there's surely not a lot of white women who are divorcing them and getting these large sums of money after they do so. I guarantee you, you can't name, other than Tiger Woods' wife, you can't name another woman.
Hold on, check this out. No, I can name one.
Who?
Hold on.
Cecil Fielder. $269 million contract with the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, but you can name one person. I can name you Michael Jordan. I can name you Allen Iverson. I can keep naming you black men. So it's not like there's this high number of black men doing it. That's a farce.
But Tommy, look at the side of the crowd. Look at Dr. Dre, made $100 million last year. Married to a white woman. Michael Jordan, married to a white woman. Tiger Woods, married
to a white
woman.
Michael Jordan's not married to a white woman. He was married to a black woman that got $250 million in the divorce decree.
Actually, she got $150 million, but now he's married to a white woman.
She ain't got his money. The black woman's got his money. I'm asking you. You said they get their money and divorce them. So you got to tell me of some people who've been divorced.
Yeah.
Because Quincy Jones ain't got no white wife that got half his money.
Well, even if that were the case, though, the real issue here, though, is that white women do not get with a man for the sake of having, quote, a man. They get with him with a purpose. They have a reason. They know what they're getting into this for when they walk in the door.
Exactly.
Black women are the only people. Listen to this. Black women are the only people running around. I put up the name Herman Cain, and everybody knows I work for him, so maybe that's I got an affinity for him. But I don't have an affinity for him because I work for him. I don't have an affinity for him because he's a friend of mine. I got an affinity for him because this was a poor black man that made his way up. He started Godfather's Pizza and just became a millionaire for that. Then turned around and became one of the top radio show hosts in the country, doing something that nobody thought that a black man could do and be successful at it. Then he started running for presidency, and white folks put him out there, thought he was going to be like Michael Steele and Alan Keyes and not get nobody to follow him. And the motherfucking man had the whole Republican Party behind him. That's why they sabotage him. But instead of black women realizing that this man has power, that a black man rose to power, they call him a damn coon.
No, but check this out. The reason why the Republicans put Herman Cain there, that make it seem like they're not racist.
I said that, though. I said they put him there thinking he would be like Michael Keyes, I mean, Michael Steele and Alan Keyes, that he wouldn't get any following, but that he would be there and they would say, see, we're not racist. What happened was he got there and got the whole party behind him.
And that's
he did
shut
something
him down.
They thought he couldn't do. That's why they brought
exactly.
him down. He didn't get brought down by the Democrats.
Exactly.
Democrats didn't find that half-breed to come out and say, he was fucking me. Then the white woman to say it. They didn't do it. It was his fellow Republicans because they didn't think he would be able to get where he was. Democrats tried the same thing to Barack Obama. See, it was cute when he was talking at the Democratic National Convention. Everybody was behind him, but they didn't think he would ever get to a point where he'd get the party's nomination.
Exactly.
So this is what I'm saying. We need to stop sitting up here and saying the half-breed is okay to cheer for, but the black man who has a category like ours, he is a coon. Do you know we did that shit in Ali versus Frazier? A black man that looked like every black man that came from poor upbringing, we called him a coon. We called him a monkey. We called the middle class, light-skinned Muhammad Ali, he's the man of the people. Y'all don't think that was weird and by design?
And this is what I mean about we as black men especially. We need to learn from these mistakes of our fathers and mothers. That we need to understand that we as men, because we, it does not matter if, it's like, you know, white people, there's always a story whenever they have one of these medieval stories, whether it's Chronicles of Narnia or the Lord of the Rings or whatever the case might be. Do you notice they always have reinforced into their children the idea that once you are the king, that's it, you're the king. And it doesn't matter whether you're deposed or not. That is your position, and you still have to carry yourself like that, whether they recognize you as such or not. And we as black men need to understand that we're the leaders of our society, whether we are recognized as such or not. And we have to, as I said, we have to make that a code, Tommy, because one thing we have to remember is that I always say we're all we got. And we as men, once we start forgetting that, we leave ourselves wide open to everyone, because the women are, understand, by nature, as I stated here before, women will accept the number two position. As men, it is not in our nature to be second place to anyone else. It's not in our nature. We don't accept that because we understand that being in second place means being controlled. And we get that.
Look at the lion.
You know what's funny? Some guy just said, Herman Cain hates black union workers. And I'm like, again, this is why black folks don't respect power and white people do. White people respect power even if the way you got there might have been a little bit shady. Like the United States was using guerrilla warfare against the British. Once they won, though, the rest of the world respected how they got there, even though they didn't like it. Let me tell you something. Had Hitler won, the rest of the world would have respected him, too.
White people
they respected him pretty much enough in Europe.
Thank you.
White people,
when you can say something like Herman Cain don't like black union workers, let me tell you what your black half-breed president don't like. Black men at all.
Exactly.
Let's take a look at Africa. This man has done more to destabilize that place in 4 years than his previous 43 predecessors. Let's get off this garbage of sitting up here telling ourselves that other people have our interests here. You need to think really, really long and hard, and it doesn't matter where you are. You need to think really, really long and hard if you are a black male, and I'm hoping that was a black female saying that. You better not be a black male saying that. You need to think long and damn hard before you sit up here and open the crook of your mouth to criticize another black man who has not spoken on you.
Thank
you. Are you a member of a union? Are you the head of a black union and he's been sitting up here shutting your union down? Or are you talking about a union that you yourself are not even a member of? Are you sitting up here defending a union that you are not even a part of, but you're here to say, well, somebody told me that he doesn't like a union somewhere. And that
Thank
has
you.
What to do with you, sir?
Thank you.
Now,
when you can
now
say
I've
something like that
of,
about Herman, and you hit the, Jason hit the nail on the head. When
yeah,
you come
to
hate a man
unions.
That has nothing to do with you, like them niggas that hate me, if you hate me, dude, I ain't said nothing bad about black men. So if you ain't a black woman, why are you so pissed?
I've been a member of two unions,
And I've never sat up here and said something like that, because all presidents, as far as I'm concerned, have never really done as much for unions as they can. The unions back Barack Obama ain't going to get a damn thing out of it, but that's a different matter altogether. You are not supposed to be sitting up here looking, nitpicking at flies and whatnot. We as black people, do you notice the Jews don't ever sit up and say stuff like what you just, wait a minute, let me get upset here for a minute. You notice the Jews never say stuff like that guy just said? Do you notice Italians never say crap like that? Do you notice females never say garbage like that? They'll sit up here and support George W. Bush, them telling you to be barefoot in the kitchen. They support the people who protect their interests. Niggas always sitting around trying to find something that we can be divided about instead of trying to sit up here and say, you know, here's what we can come together about, and here's what we do agree on, and let's build on that. We're going to sit up here and try to figure out some way to knock off somebody else, whether they touch us at all. No wonder we're at the damn bottom.
That's why when white people see there's two white people running for, like, say if there were two white heavyweight champions right now, that'd be the highest grossing fight in history. If it was two white people fighting for the heavyweight championship, because they just want to see two white people doing it, and they're not going to nitpick and say, well, he ain't as good as somebody else. So this is what I don't understand. As black people, you have your half-breed president that you can take pride in if you want to, but you can't take pride in the fact of what Herman Cain and what Thomas has done with the Supreme Court. Are you fucking serious? Because last I checked, the motherfucking Irish was quite happy that they had Paul Ryan and they had Joe Biden. Didn't matter what party they was in, they knew they had two Irishmen representing them. And they weren't going to pick the two Irishmen. They surely weren't.
Go deeper than that. When JFK first ran for president, it didn't matter what side of the aisle the Irish people were on before then, you were behind Kennedy. Go watch the movie The Departed. These people sit up here and understand what power is supposed to be.
Yep.
My problem, if you have a problem with his views or whatever, that's one thing. But when you sit up here and make it a goal that you're going to repeat what someone else told you about this man as somehow being derogatory towards them, this is where we get off into some mess. I criticize Barack Obama for what he's done, but I don't sit up here and make it a crusade. And he is going to be on, as long as he is protecting my interests, is okay. He's not protecting my interests, I don't give a damn. And it's going to be the same thing for Herman Cain. Until this man tells you that he is not in favor of your interests, shut your mouth.
Thank you. And that's what hurts me, because I'm like, look, I know the man personally, but I also know you have the right to look at what he's saying and had done. And you said it, and it's literally what those guys are doing and saying to me. If you think about it, if you going out of your way to make sure you take down somebody that's doing nothing against you just because somebody else told you to, because somebody else said that should be an issue, but it doesn't affect you. And that's what, when we say things like Herman Cain ain't for unions, who the fuck is that's in office for unions? They are not beholden to them, because that's why JFK ass found himself where he was.
You show me how many white folk have gone out of their way to go after another white person for saying something racist against Barack Obama.
Ooh.
You show me how many white folk went up, well, he doesn't like black people. Well, he said something about the black president. On the Republic, you show me how many Democrats have been running around holding up their flags and their banners pointing to the Klansmen in the Republican Party. Show me where they are. These white men understand that Obama is just their mascot. And they understand his place in the pecking order. And we're sitting up here acting as if it transcends the pecking order. And these white men are like, you know what? It doesn't matter, because guess what? Your Senate is still 99% white.
Thank you. That's why a random white man came to save a white woman from a black woman, but a motherfucking group of white men who worked with a black woman let that bitch get stepped on and spit on by a random white man. Say amen.
Hold on. Can I step in right quick?
You get in, then I'm going to bring in two more people. Go ahead.
The biggest issue with black people, they don't know how to organize, and they don't know how the political system works. It's about money and politics. Check this out, Jason and Tommy. The Koch brothers, look at those guys. They founded the John Burke Society. I mean, their father founded the John Burke Society. Totally right wing, white supremacy, but they worth $80 billion, and half of black people don't know who they are. They buy up our Congress every
They're not interested in being famous. We don't know who they are because these guys ain't trying to be on TV.
They are doing what real power does.
But look at black people. Black people always want to be in front of the camera, but they never want to be behind the camera running the show.
Well, real power directs. That's why James Cameron has made more than anybody that's ever starred in any one of his movies. Oops.
Exactly. No one wants to be behind the camera calling the plays. Everybody wants to be the center. Don't nobody want to be the quarterback. Everybody wants to be the quarterback. No one wants to be the offensive coordinator.
And no wonder these people, black people are so easy to take down because we are so determined to get attention that we put all of our damn business and all of our weaknesses on the front damn page for everybody to see.
Every big black dope dealer was brought down the same way, flashing.
I mean,
letting
Tommy,
everybody know that he's the
America.
King of New York. Letting everybody know he is the man that runs this organization.
Look at Big
you
Meech.
You worked in corporate America just like me, and you and I both saw the same thing from every single black executive, black manager, whatever. If the only reason that we didn't take them down was because we didn't want to. The only reason we didn't undermine them was because we didn't want to. It wasn't like the nigga didn't put everything that you needed right there on the damn table, and
yeah,
they eventually did get
telling you, nigga, you the CEO, and you up here telling me that you fucking the secretary and you married. This is what we as black men do. We will tell you who we fucking. We will tell a random nigga that we fucking around on our wife so we can get kudos from this random nigga.
And now when white folk get ready to take you down, they don't even have – I mean, they got a file on you this damn thick, and guess
yep.
who gave it to them? You did.
Yep.
Exactly.
All so you can get a pat on the back or whatever. Hey, I got Susie over there in accounting. Oh, you did. You do know that's harassment, don't you?
Hey, but look, Jackson and Tommy, that's all goes back to what I was saying. It's that plantation disorder. Once you tell the master everything and the master doesn't respond aggressively, everything's okay.
Because my thing is, even if they got something to say about me, if black folks wanted to keep it in-house, that'd be fine. If you wanted to take down the leader and switch leaders, or if you wanted to take down one of the leaders or eight of the leaders and switch leaders, you don't need to let the outside know why you switch leaders. Let me tell you who does it better than anybody else. Remember George Bush came in and he got rid of a whole bunch of motherfuckers and didn't tell nobody why. He just replaced them with his people.
It's that plantation disorder, Tommy. I say about 98% of black people have that plantation disorder. If you tell the master everything, then you have nothing to hide. But once you start hiding things from the master, you know they might be severe.
Why do you think Terrell Owens was so easy to get on TV in front of Dr. Phil and make a fool of, and the black woman sat up there and did all the talking when it was the white woman is the one, or whatever that bitch is mixed with, she was the one that's doing most of the damage behind closed doors, but she got on TV and didn't say shit. How she knew to get on TV and not say shit?
Because you work with the master.
But everybody else was on there just talking their ass off, telling their damn business, and he don't do this, and crying, and Dr. Phil's able to get... Have you ever noticed Dr. Phil is able to get any black woman in the world to give out all her damn secrets?
That's that slave... That's that slave PSTD.
Let's bring in a couple more people in here. Let's bring in Soriano, and let's bring in my man Lar. No, let's bring in Shy and Lar. Lar, Soriano, and Shy. Let me go to Soriano first. Hey, Soriano.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, hi. I'm fine.
Oh, it's Sorino.
I'm fine. Soriano.
Oh, I said it right. Okay, cool.
Yeah, like Alfonso Soriano.
Okay, cool. Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you a question about what we were talking about, because people saying it's misogynistic right now, that, you know, these men sound misogynistic. What are your thoughts on what you're hearing so far?
Oh. Yeah, I don't know a lot of stuff about that, but because the black woman and hello.
I'm trying to give you a chance. I'm trying, nigga. I'm trying.
Okay. Oh, and I think so. Yeah.
Hello.
Where are you from?
I'm
you better
from
not say Compton.
Republic. Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Yeah, 1 year in the United States.
Now, so what do you think about the issue between men and women? Do you think that since you've been in the United States, do you think that the issue between men and women, especially minority men and women, do you think it can be solved?
No, you're good. Everything what you say is true, man. Check it out. I have my cousin. She got the welfare, and she figured out 3 checks. 2 child support plus the welfare, money free.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, when you got a lot of women that are able to just do things like that, and I think that's what bothers people. And I want to ask Shy, what Soriana talked about was the idea of women can just literally get here, and he said, you know, they get here and they just get to be rent free. Well, they just get shit as a woman. And how can we as a society put women in position to get shit free and then say that it's an equal society? What do you think about that, Shy?
It's not an equal society. It's not an equal society, and it wasn't set up equally. In the beginning, there was a reason for that. The problem is not how society is set up, because they need fallbacks for certain situations, for certain people. The problem is black women take advantage of it and are leeches of the society.
Exactly. That's why most of them was hell on Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney said, we're going to put stipulations on Section 8. Oh, black women went hell bent over Mitt Romney.
I mean, because the system is here for everybody, but nobody uses it like black women. It's nothing wrong with the system. Because, like I said, you're going to always need a fallback for someone.
I'll give you something a little bit bigger to think about there. Whenever I hear somebody talk about, I'm a strong, independent woman, and then you ask them, well, what are you doing that makes you such a strong, independent woman? And then they start telling you about the house they got, which is through Section 8, and the food stamps they got and stuff like that. And I'm like, so, and their schooling that they got this through government loans. So what you really mean is that you are extremely adept at drawing out government services. That's what you really mean to say. Isn't it?
And Jason,
that's your mark of accomplishment. Your mark of accomplishment is your ability to apply for government services. They can tell you what every office on every floor of the state building is, wherever they are.
Go ahead, Soriana.
Hello?
You're there, Soriana.
Yeah, but in my country they don't use that shit. But it's a lot of young women who got a baby. Oh, my cousin has 3 babies. 2 boyfriends.
Yep.
Yeah, 2 child support. And just 3. What the fuck? I don't understand.
It is kind of funny that, have you noticed, in Panama it's the same way. There's no system of government set up to supply women with shit like that because they got random kids.
Right. Well, I mean, the reason why you have it here, and like I said, the reason why I think people have it here is because of the way we were a wealthy society, so we could afford to have things for the underprivileged. And welfare got set up when they were coming through this war, and they were coming back husbandless. And at that time, women didn't have the ability to work. They really didn't have any skills. So your husband just died in the World War, and now you don't have a way to take care of these 2 kids that he's left you with.
But
that is no longer a reality for our society. It needs to be reformed.
Well, do you understand when you open it's Pandora's box? FDR opened Pandora's box. We needed the Great Society when he did it, but you can't stop that now. That's the problem. You can't do it.
And not only can you not do
something like that, but it starts to get expanded. Have you noticed that every time you lax? If you had, when you were little, when we had a little club, when people would join our club, every time you laxed who could come in the club, next thing you know, too many people was in the club and it was no longer fun?
Fun, yeah.
You got 17-year-olds who can tell you how to juice welfare. You got 17-year-olds telling you that.
But hold on, everyone. Look at the racial aspect of that.
Think about it. We love saying there are more white people on welfare than black. But we have a huge concentration of blacks on welfare.
That's, you know, I hate that.
That's true.
I hate that.
That's
we only make 13% of the society up. So, yeah, they're entitled to have more because look how huge their numbers are. But if you put it proportionately, our proportion is humongously larger than theirs. But black people don't know proportions. They only know
it's
how to
more
act.
Black
it's
that listen to, it's more whites that listen to rap than blacks. But it ain't more percentage of whites that do.
Okay,
can
you hear me?
This is a great hijacking here. Tommy, I got to hijack you for just
a
moment
let,
here.
Go ahead. Let me let Jason do it. Anytime we're about to hear something that makes some sense, that's what usually come out of his mouth.
You just stepped on something huge here, Tommy. You just stepped on something huge. And I wanted to call in about this last week because right after the election, this is something, a prediction that I had made a long time ago. And we're seeing it come to pass now because this hits on so many things. You know, when we hear people talk about how they're going to somehow, some way, create a black society with non-black people and whatnot, and you don't understand that you're not ready for any of this stuff that you claim that you're going to be able to do because you're not actually going to be able to do any of that. A couple of days after the election, just a couple of days later, this is the headline from Associated Press, Sean Hannity, John Boehner say GOP should tackle immigration reform. Now, that was the headline right after the election.
Yep.
So what are these guys telling you? They're telling you that, you know what? We see the problem in society. The problem is still the niggas. And what we're going to do here, because all these people are talking about us and Hispanics are minorities. These people don't see themselves as a minority the way you are. Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. I promise. It's going right back to what you're talking about.
Oh, I know where you're going. That's why I'm sitting back.
They don't see themselves as minorities the way that you do. See, black people call themselves minorities. You go to California, you go to New Mexico, you go to Colorado. Hispanics don't call themselves minorities. They never have, and they never will. They just see themselves as a group here in America, but they don't see themselves as minorities. So what white people are showing you, and I've always said that what you are dealing with are two European cultures. And you can sit up here and tell yourself you're going to snuggle up with all these other people, non-black people, as much as you want to, but when the chips come down, they're going to side with the white folk because they come from a European language, a European religion, a European culture system, and they are going to meld together. Now, what has made you think that, well, they are, quote, a minority like us? Well, white folk don't want them to be here. They're illegal aliens. They like calling them nicknames and racial slurs like they do us, so that makes them like us. Right? Wrong, you dumb nigga. You take a look at Miami. Show me where the racial strife is between Hispanics and white folk in Miami. You show me where the racial strife is between Hispanics and white folk in New Jersey. Show me where the racial strife is between Hispanics and white folk in Pennsylvania. It's not there. And when the chips come down and they decide, you know what, it's time for us to expand the tent, these people already come from places of millionaires and billionaires and intact families. And what they're going to do is they're going to get together with the white folk and vote you off the island. That's exactly what's going to occur.
And
you're telling
yourself,
don't worry. They can't speak the language,
so
that will protect them. No, it won't.
Well, I want to say this, too. Us as Hispanics as a culture, there's a difference. We do say minority, but the difference is we believe that minority does not mean weakness. With typical regular American blacks believe that the word minority means I should be given something. We just believe that all it means is just more of you than us. But we believe if you leave us around long enough, it'll be more of us than you.
But Tommy, what is the percentage of the black population?
They've been the
Nobody
same
knows.
For years.
Exactly.
Nobody knows.
But black people don't pay attention to that.
This is what I'm saying. Look, Hispanics, the Cubans, they made sure they went to Florida, and then they kept staying in Florida and kept staying in Florida and kept staying in Florida until they overran Florida. There's a reason why they do it. Blacks don't know how to overrun anything and make it to where it's still something the whites want. When we do overrun some, it'd be the area by the damn airport. We turn it into the hood, then they buy it, and they turn it into condos for white people. Have you seen them doing that to Hispanic neighborhoods? No, because they can't.
Because you got a little Havana and a little Cuba and a little Hialeah and a little Tijuana. And what do? They set up a damn slum? No. They set up a store. They set up a hotel. They set up a school. These people sit up here and build a community. Niggas sit up here and get a block and bomb the damn thing out.
We're the only people that Koreans can come in there and get all your damn money. And live where they taking your money.
But we have the nicest shoes. We have the nicest shoes. We got the nicest shoes.
You get your hair, your nails, your shoes. Everything you get is from a non-black person. And as soon as that neighborhood gets so horrible, they never lived there in the first place. They closed their shop, and your ass is left with the remnants. How many of us grew up in black neighborhoods where there's a place where it used to be a Kroger, now some damn Lynn shop or something? You can tell it used to be a nice little square, but it's not anymore.
Yeah, and now they don't even do that. Now they just clear them out. A few years ago, there was a story out of Baltimore specifically where the Asians were leaving their stores and trying to sell them in Baltimore because they had amassed so much wealth that they were now just going to go off and go compete against the white folk. And black folk don't even have enough money in Baltimore to be able to buy the businesses from the Asians. But guess what? Somebody is going to buy them. The Mexicans and the Arabs are going to buy them.
Yep.
That's who's going to get them. And now you will be lorded over by them the way you were by the Asians and the whites.
That's what tickles me when black folks tell me, I heard black people say to me, oh, all the people in Africa, they're the only purebreds left. The people in America are mixed. I'm like, motherfucker, have you never heard of colonization in the continent of Africa? Are you serious?
Right, right. But I know here that we are have an influx of Afghan, Yemen. We have an influx of those countries buying up the gas stations.
Like as in Detroit, Tommy, what I was telling you when you was on Cash Out, when Cash Out was on your last show, the Jews are coming here and set up shops in the grocery stores, the gas stations, and everything else.
Hello. Let me ask you something, brother. Let me ask you something. Do you know how the stock market works, Eugene?
Yeah, I know how the stock market works.
You remember how what they did on Trading Places? You wait. You buy low, you sell high.
Exactly.
White people and Jews and everybody else just watch black people fuck up the one commodity that everybody understands is important except us, which is land. They let us go to places, fuck up the value in that land. They buy it for pennies on the dollar. Then they ship our black asses out.
Yep. Hello? Hey, Tommy.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Laura.
I got to say, what y'all are saying is right to an extent, but it's something missing. It's not necessary the land or the business is more important than the mentality. Because every time we have a black business, either one or two things happen. We think it's inferior because it's black owned, or the people that own it think they're inferior so they do shoddy shit.
Yes.
Exactly.
You can't do
business
with a black
business. Think about how fast we sell it. A clothing line called For Us, By Us is owned by white people. A station called BET is owned by white people. Come on now.
No.
But we as black people, we don't value anything that we build.
No, it's not that we don't value it. It's just what Tommy just said. We don't keep a value to it. Our mentality is to give it to somebody else.
Yep.
See,
We don't make a business for the purpose of building a business. We as black people don't build businesses for the purpose of being a build business. We build a business for the purpose of getting some draws or getting some recognition from somebody.
Yep.
We don't build it as the basis of freedom, justice, and equality and passing on a legacy. We always have some ulterior motive for doing it. When white men build a business, he's building it for that reason.
The Ford company is still owned by Ford.
Exactly.
The Ford company is still owned by Disney.
But here it is, everyone.
I like how y'all keep waiting and then jumping back in at the same time.
At the same time, it's hilarious.
I just wanted each other to break it up. I wanted to see how many times they would do it.
But hold on. Okay. Can I go first?
Then Serrano will go, and then we'll bring in some more people.
Okay, black people are too quick to sell out for money. See, you have people like the Koch brothers, the Cargill family, the Walton family who owns Walmart. Those people would not sell out for money. They would literally kill themselves before they cut off their legacy. That's what black people have
to
learn.
But you have to understand, they believe in that word, but that word means something to white people.
We don't honor
the word legacy means something
legacy.
To white people. Say the word legacy to black people, it doesn't mean anything, because if you never had one, how do you pass something down you never had? They didn't have anybody give them shit. What nigga you know got a watch like Eddie Murphy did in life from his daddy?
How do you preserve something that you can't even define?
Yep. I don't have
a fucking thing
from my father except his name.
I mean, if you don't, you're supposed to sit up here and at least have a house to pass. You're supposed to at least have a house to pass on. We're not able to pass on
black,
a piece of
black
property.
Black people did have houses to pass. Black people had houses to pass. If you notice, black people had houses in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. Crack came along, and when all the old, I don't know about anywhere else, but in California, because I looked at it, in California, as the older generation start dying off, the younger generation start putting loans on their houses for cars.
Okay, let me try this a different way here. Black people have never been able to surpass a 30% home ownership rate in America.
Right.
No, they never have. They never have.
I mean, there's the problem.
We could have passed it had we kept what we had. What we did have, we've lost. Because we were at a higher level of ownership in the 60s and the 70s than we are now.
Well, what happened in those, you keep forgetting what happened in those times, though. The mentality of black people switched because white people were. Well, let me tell you, black people switched because they were able to show you temporary gain over long-term gain.
That's what I'm saying.
Tell y'all what happened.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But hold on, I was raised with my grandparents. I'm going to tell y'all what happened. It's very simple. What happened was those old people who worked their ass off and bust their ass is just like raising in the sun, had a young child who wanted to make that fast come up, and they fucked up everything for a fast come up. And then
that's
my point. I'm not
going to
do it. My kids are going to do it for me.
I disagree with that.
I
want to
hear
leadership.
Two disagreements. I want to hear Jason, then I do want to hear Soriana before I go in. I like the fact that you both disagree. So, Jason, you go, and then Soriana, you go.
While law is describing is factually accurate, it is physically accurate. However, team reflects leadership. If you do not teach your children to value what you built, if you teach them that I got a job at the plant, I mean, take a look at them old folks who worked at the Ford plant. Take a look at Detroit. Take a look at all the wealth, all the Negroes who left the southern United States, where me and Tommy are down here, and went up north to Ford, went out west to Silicon Valley and whatnot, and the gold rush and everything else that was out there, working at Firestone in the automotive industry and the brick industry and the steel industry. What did they do? They went off and they bought houses. They did not build wealth. They bought a house. They bought a Cadillac. They got a ring, and they sat their asses down. In other words, they were just a middle-class version of this garbage you see in Chirac with the rest of the chief keep and the rest of them fellas today. That's who they learned it from. No. Team reflects leadership. These people never taught their kids to value what they built. They just taught them, go get you a car, get you some shoes, get you a house if you can, roll on out.
And to elaborate on what he said, black people, all we could teach somebody to do was repeat what we did. So if we went work from somebody and got a house, do you know what we told our kids? Start at the bottom, go work for somebody and get a house. That's the same damn cycle. Why would you keep teaching me how to get back to where you are?
Ask your mom and your dad today, the children of that World War II generation. You ask your mom and your dad, did your grandparents ever sit them down and explain how they got the title to that house, how they qualified to buy that house?
Thank you.
Did your grandparents ever teach your parents that?
Actually, they did, and I'm about to tell you what went down.
But as a group, they don't.
I know these things. Oh, okay. But as a group, what you were saying, same thing with quote-unquote Chirac, I grew up on the west side. I know about that place well enough to know these things. First thing about these people growing up at the plants and all that stuff, don't you find it ironic that even in your own family, you got people in your family that can know how to fix cars, that can bake, that can sew, they can do all kind of things. But guess what you don't see? You don't see other people in the family say, you need to learn that. Because everybody thinks they're too fucking good to learn how to do some shit that could generate them money if they actually had a craft.
I want you to hold on for one second. I want you to understand that's what Jason was saying. He was saying you have all these people who know all this shit, but it never filtered down to anyone else for them to build on that. Meaning, if you know a guy that can actually fix this, that, and the other. The next generation should be people who know how to fix this, that, and the other. Just one person knows how to
do it.
Okay, but why? I don't know about where you guys are, but I do know about California, and this is what I can say about California. I think the influx of crack really screwed us up, because I know a lot of crackheads, and you probably know this too. You can go to a crackhead for $20, and they can rebuild you a whole engine. They
know. Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, okay, being from the southern United States, and Tommy has seen this whole life like I have. Tommy's familiar, I know you're going to be familiar with this phrase when I say it. What do these rednecks and white people do with their children? If he knows how to work on a car, what do they say? If the baby, as soon as that baby is old enough to hold the wrench, he's old enough to turn it.
Yeah.
And they don't leave it as optional. It's not optional whether he learns that skill. He's at least going to start out with a skill, and it's not optional. Donald Trump with his children, learning how to take over his business is not optional. You are born for the purpose of taking over this business. This is your purpose. In black society, your children should not have a choice as to whether or not they know how to continue the property that you have set up here and bought. Your children don't have a choice in that.
I'm going to say something, and I'm going to say something because you're making a really good point, but I'm going to pull this back to where I think the root of the problem is. The root of the problem is there's a man in that household to teach. And when they separated the black household, they put the man out. That's the point that I'm making, because when they put the man out, they put out a lot of knowledge.
But I do want to say something to you, though. Well, let me say this. White women lost their husbands in huge numbers in World War I, II, and III. But the difference is they didn't lose their damn mind and believe that they can now do it by themselves.
That's my point. That is the point that I'm making. That is the complete point that I'm making. Because, like I said, there's a lot of black men that have kids that are unable to teach them because they're unable to be at home. And that's my point. When I know a lot of black kids that could build a house from the ground up. My uncle is one. He could build a house from the ground up because his father taught that to him. But he was unable to teach that to his child because he was removed from the household. His child was born in 1973. Or 74.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that because typically when black women, and here's what she's saying, and she can tell me if I'm wrong. What she's saying is typically the people who work, goes back to what Jason said, the people who work and build were the men. Well, if you took them out of the house, how could the women pass something down when they didn't work and build nothing? They were given it by the state.
Yes.
So how could they pass anything down when all they can pass down is what they were given?
And not just how can they pass it down, but who's going to demand it?
You're talking about a black man working at a plant. And yeah, they did work at a plant, but damn it, they worked. You don't have a black man that has a work ethic now because he didn't see his father have it.
Hey, she's on to something.
Hold on.
I mean, who's demanding
that first? You got to tell
you who's demanding that they have that work ethic, though? Who's demanding?
That's what I was saying. I said the white women, even though they lost their husbands in the wars, they demanded that their sons be raised either by a good stepdaddy or have an idea of why your dad lost or why your dad's not here, and everything I saw your dad do, I'm going to put it in you. Have you noticed white women force their sons, they force their sons, sometimes to their detriment, to be on the football team, even if there's no father around. They know that a son is going to get tough if he's on the football team. They know that a son is going to be tough if he's doing
– and a black household, if the white man is not there, let's say he died, or even if he's not there by choice, you can still look on my mantelpiece and you will see a picture of this is your daddy. And she will tell him stories about his father, even if they are fabricated and they're myths and they're fables after all those years.
White women will lie about how great your daddy was.
Thank you. That's my point. This is the point
that
I'm making.
I got one for y'all that y'all haven't even thought about. I work in the suburbs a lot. White women will marry these quote-unquote, well, black women don't fuck with, these feminine kind of guys or these soft kind of guys or these nerdy kind of guys, and they'll stay with them like, look, you might be all these things, but I tell you what, you know how to teach this boy or girl how to be a man or how to look and find another cheek.
But because black women don't want their kids, so they don't care what happened to them. And that is my point.
They do want
them.
No, they don't want the NFL draft.
I'll say something might be a little deeper. White women aren't scared to lose their children.
No, they are not.
White
no,
women
are not,
not scared
yes,
to is. Lose their kids, and black people are. Let me tell you the difference. It goes back to what Jason Black said earlier. He said, you know, black people are afraid to risk things, but then he said, except when it comes to in the hood or having sex. It's the same thing with black women. They're afraid to lose their kids, except when it comes to their boyfriend molesting them and stuff like that. They'll do that. But they want to keep their kids around. White people believe that if them kids die, well, that was the Lord's plan. Have you noticed that black folks cry more at their kids' funerals than white people?
Mm-hmm. And it hurts all the way around. But the difference is that white woman has something else to depend on. That it goes back to what I
there
said before.
There you go.
Black women don't have nothing but them kids there consistently
there
in their life because they cannot keep
when,
a man.
When black women lose their kids, they have lost their source of income. They have lost their power. That's why it is such a harmful thing when it happens to them. When white women lose their kids, they don't feel like I have lost my source of power.
Now, Sha just hit on a very good point, though. She said they've lost their companion. Because this goes deep.
Yeah,
they're doing it for money and everything else like that. But even more deeper than that, we have a two generations, probably at this point, we can probably count four generations of females who are not able to relate to another human being. And
mm-hmm.
If you took away these children, nobody would mess with them or talk with them from the moment they wake up in the morning to the moment they go back to sleep in the evening. No,
I think in 2012,
no
though, if
afraid.
You take away the internet from a black chick now, you can take away the kids. That's why if you watch the shit that's going on, these kids are getting overly neglected now by black women because they got the internet. The internet has supplanted, I'm going to say it again, and I don't know if anybody will agree, the internet has supplanted black women with their kids because now the internet is their new boyfriend, their new everything. That's why you wonder why there's random young and old black women putting up these so-called sexual pictures, always changing their profile, got millions and millions of pictures because the internet has supplanted that. They used to use their kids to get attention. Now the internet has done that. That's why they don't need their kids anymore.
They don't have to. And it's not even the internet. It's Facebook.
It was MySpace, Twitter, Facebook.
It's the internet. It's the internet. You got chicks with Instagrams. You don't do nothing to have no Instagram. What do you do to have an Instagram?
Match.com. We can go down the list.
Thank you. Black people meet.
They
don't need their kids no more. That's why I can get any woman to go across country to meet me and leave their kids with their ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I promise you, they will leave their kids with their ex-boyfriend to come and roll in the hay with me for a weekend. And you got to ask, you mean to tell me that ex-man ain't going to pull a Wolverine one day and slice them kids' throat when he find out what you're doing?
You got to admit,
but they don't care about that.
Is deconstructing feminism.
Thank you.
But they don't care about the kids, though. The kids were a means to an end. Their purpose was to get something at that time. These are just playthings. They're hood ornaments. And now they've outlived their usefulness. Who cares what happens to them?
They don't. They really, really don't. I know a girl. Matter of fact, this is sad because she's listening, but I don't care. I'm putting your business out there to start, and I'm going to call you by the name.
You get like me, you better stop. I be alienating the hell out of my listeners. I be telling their stories.
I don't care because, see, this is why black men should be leery. And this is why black parents don't do nothing for their kids. Because, see, this is right here the prime example of why I wouldn't help a bitch. I don't give a fuck if she was mine. She didn't lie for 9 months about being pregnant. And nobody's really affected by this but her mama and her grandmama. Because they done went out and bought this baby everything. She was lying because this boy was going to leave her, so she was trying to get pregnant. But she didn't. So for 9 months, she didn't have a baby shower and everything. She didn't ate to pick up weight.
How much she ate?
Thank you.
Exactly. And what is she eating?
As nigga said, she must have been on a Herculean diet.
She was not big. She was not big at all. Now she's big. 9 months later, she didn't eat like she was pregnant, constantly eating. She had a belly. She didn't fake the baby shower and everything.
Well, at some point, she's going to have to produce this mystical baby.
Hey, don't you know that the woman up in Chicago, was it Chicago, where she went and told a man for a whole 8 months she was pregnant and then befriended this other woman and cut her baby out of her stomach?
Now, see, that's common. That is common. That is so common, you don't know how common that is.
Sure
people
is.
Do this. I don't know what be wrong with people, but this was something that I just couldn't believe it, because the difference between this woman and my this little girl is she had a husband that she was lying to. You're lying to a nigga that you know don't want a baby.
She was lying to a boyfriend.
Because she lying to her. Oh, we thinking of a different story then, because I'm thinking of one in Kentucky.
No, you talking about that other one. Yeah, that was her husband who was in the military. I'm talking about the one that was lying to her boyfriend and cut that white woman's baby out of her stomach.
Oh, I
so she can have a light-skinned baby.
You know what?
That was here.
This is neat.
Yeah, she cut her baby out so she could have a light-skinned baby. Do you see the sickness that has happened? And it goes back to what Jason said, and we both are talking about the same thing, and you too, Shy. This attention-starved deposition syndrome with black women.
Yes.
They are so attention-starved that they would set themselves on fire to get the attention of a man playing World of Witchcraft.
Yes.
But it's for a reason.
Of anybody. I mean, anybody. And white men can see this from a mile away.
Thank you.
The funny thing about it is, mothers haven't taught their daughters how to be women, so they can't attract men because they don't know how to fuck to be a woman. So they're doing anything to get attention.
I said that
but
last
the
time
don't
on
know.
The show.
But the mothers don't know.
Thank you.
I mean,
you can't see something you don't know.
Yeah, you cannot teach what you have not seen. I mean,
if you go back four generations,
great-grandmama was clueless, grandmama's clueless, mama's more clueless, and the daughter's just hopeless.
No.
Well,
it's
you're thinking about a grandmother like I'm thinking about one. We ain't talking about the grandmamas at 70 and 80. Them is great-great-great-grandmamas. Now,
well, you got to understand what Jason is saying. When he say four generations, that's just 1990.
That's my point. Y'all gotta stop saying clueless though, because it's a difference between being clueless and being a stubborn asshole.
You know what? You're right.
When y'all were talking about equality earlier, here's the thing: men are men, women are women. Women lost their equality with men when women decided they wanted to be men. Then that you X'd out you being a woman. Your equality was being in your gender. So now that you don't want to be you no more, you fuck yourself up. Because same thing when you see men, seeing men that's gay or real feminine, like, oh, you don't want to be a man no more? Cool, don't bring your ass over here no more.
Exactly.
I think a lot of black men have become gay out of necessity.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just being honest. Let me tell you why. Because if all you see are masculine women, again, I tell people all the time, if your woman going to wear weave all the time, go ahead and get you a white or mixed chick. If your woman going to act like a man, go on and get you a man.
Exactly.
Seriously, why would you keep getting an imitation of anything? If your woman going to act like a man, you see black women walking around in pants like men now. Tell me you don't. And they be straight black women. They are straight. They got on jeans like a dude. They got on shirts like dudes. You know what I'm talking about, them long, slim T-shirts?
Tommy,
but the problem is
they're devoid of
feminine
don't
behavior.
Subsidize women for being with real men. That's why. You ain't going to get a government subsidy if you're getting with a real man and you're a woman. You fucking know that already. What you're going to get is a sorry-ass dude who's a male so you can still get a subsidy because he'll fuck up. And that's what you want. You can get some dick and a subsidy.
And the fact that I think black women, again, it goes back to they suffer from abandonment issues. Since they never had a father there, their whole goal is to get some man to like them and stick around. And if he don't stick around, I can get a kid so I can harass him his whole life. Where did I learn that from? Like Jason said, four generations of watching women do just that.
That's what black women do. That's their MO right there. They come out of high school and they're looking for somebody to have a baby by. They go to college so they can take care of that baby. I told you to do that on that Educated Hood Rant, because these are the ones that are really destroying our society.
Right.
It's not
why
the
is
hood
it that
rat.
So many black women in nice colleges still get pregnant? Seriously, think about it. Black women
That's
in nice
point.
Colleges where they're giving away free birth control still get pregnant.
Get pregnant. Yes.
But what is their reason for going? But what is their reason for going? I mean, you have to ask yourself,
pregnant, probably.
Is Is there a reason for going the same as their white counterparts?
No.
No, the black woman is going to college so she can find a husband. The black woman is going to college so she can alienate her man.
Well, that's very true. I mean, a white woman is going to college to find a husband, but to further her career because she's already got that mind. A black woman is going because she has to, because either the government or somebody else told her you have to go if you're going to continue getting whatever you're getting.
I don't think it's because they have to. I think a lot of the decisions we make as black people are based upon the fact that somebody just keeps sticking the opportunity in our face. We play basketball because they keep making sure in every hood they stick up a goal.
Hey, Tommy, what is that masculinity? What is this whole show about? They want that masculinity like a man. But as soon as they face a man, they want to run back to the law.
But that's who gave them the power, though. That's what I'm saying. The people who give black women the best chance to go to the college are white men.
Exactly.
White men give them all types of situations to a black woman could right now. You could be married to a 50-year-old black chick. She can pick up and decide she just want to go to college, and it's a motherfucker to help her go. Let your black ass
question,
pick up and decide you want to go to college. You better have some money, say. Think
I got
about
a
how many black
too.
Women you dating who on the computer. I'm in college. My daughter's mom is getting her second master's degree. My mother got two of them.
But look, when y'all talk about, I'm sorry.
Hold on, all these black women talking about they getting all these degrees, but you have one black woman who's a chairman and a CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
Thank you. Just one.
Hold on.
But we got all these eternal students. All these eternal students out here, and they're not taking over nothing.
Money at high rates. The problem is they are spending it at high rates. They're coming
But they're not achieving anything. Even they're high paid employees in our regards, but they're not taking over any corporations. They're not being
They don't have the mentality to take over, and that's why they give them the opportunity.
He's right. Say whatever
because
you want to.
That
when you go to companies where there are black men and high heads of those situations, there are black people and high heads. They are black men. They ain't black women.
Yeah.
Black women are the queens of middle management.
I'm telling everyone.
Black women will get a master's degree and still be the head of middle management.
Exactly. There's only one CEO and chairman that's a black woman of a Fortune 500 company. There's only one. But black
so
women
this is what you have to show. This is what
there's
you have to show for that flood of degrees.
As a man, I gotta say this.
All these black women
black
talking
women
about
actually
this.
Know. I'm sorry, but
one at a time. You go ahead,
Lauren.
Then I gotta let some more people in.
I'm sorry. Okay. Do black women actually know that this white power structure that gives them power is actually in place to make sure that white women know they got an enemy?
I've been saying it. It was my word. Black women are sponsored terrorists.
Yep.
They are state-sponsored terrorists. You cannot tell me that an individual is getting compensated for having 15 children, that she can go on TV and say, I got 15 kids, somebody better give me some money, and a week later they give her a six-bedroom house.
You know
why they were able to do that? Because she was able to put 6 to 7 black men in jail off asking for that.
It spirals even bigger than that. What Law just said is a very true statement. If people would just think about it for a moment, if what he says sounds contradictory to anyone out there, it doesn't sound like it makes sense. Consider this: the reason that you allow in illegal aliens, the reason that you have illegal labor, is for the purposes of controlling the cost of the legal labor.
Yep.
Exactly.
And this serves the same purpose. Your job here, I mean, understand, the biggest beneficiaries of Section 8 are not the people living in the houses. The biggest beneficiaries of Section 8 are white men and white real estate companies who make tons of money off of Section 8.
Exactly.
I tell people all the time,
and you are their biggest
customer. If you have a baby and no job, they let you stay in there for $20 a month. As soon as you get a man or real job, your rent for a place in the middle of Chirac just went up to $500 a month.
Exactly.
Where are you paying $500 on rent at?
Yeah, I was about to say, because that ain't the fucking rent you got to go believe.
No, I'm saying if you get a real job.
900.
Even if you get a real job, it ain't $500.
Nothing in California. I had to think about that because $500.
I'm just looking for a number. I don't know. I just know it shoots up dramatically from that $40 you were paying when you didn't have no money, when you didn't have no job, and you was just living off the system. So they make it to where you live off the system. So the person has to ask themselves, why are they making it to where I don't have to do anything? A man should ask that question about living in a house with a woman. Why is she allowing you to sit around and not do nothing? Because when it comes time for her to put your ass out, you will have nowhere to go because you haven't stacked not one dime.
And you have no clue what you need to do even when you do get out there. You have no concept. I mean, if someone asks you what the real rent is, Section 8's been paying for it for you since you were 16 years old. You have no concept of what rent is, thus you don't know what kind of job you need to get or how much money you need to make to pay the rent. You have no idea.
Don't you understand that that's how kingdoms work? They would always make sure the people had enough bread to survive, but not enough bread to thrive.
Exactly.
And this is how you raise a nation of whores who are so easily had.
Yes.
They're not
These women today are so subservient and so easy. I mean, you got the goofiest, most corniest looking, Pee Wee Herman's looking white dude walking up in the room. Hi, how you doing, man? Snapping his fingers, and here the black women are bowing down, and that's the situation that they want because he has spent the last 50,000 years trying to build this voluptuary's paradise, and he's going to use your women as the fuel for it.
I tell people all the time, and then it'll bring us more people. Let me tell you how slick white. Let me tell you how slick white people are, and how they believe in building for their sons and their son's son. If you've noticed, ever since the honeymooners, there have always been a fat man who don't have much money with a fine woman who would be with him. Do you know why they did this? Because they wanted to program into their women's heads that you don't have to marry for looks. You marry for security. Why do you think that Homer Simpson, again, fat dummy, fine wife, why do you think that every one of those white shows up until this day has the same formula, fat dude, fine wife?
Married with children, king of queens.
Yep.
Wealth and power. Wealth and power.
They program their little girls from the time that they're little to depend on a man. That's why they stick fairy tales in their heads. From the time that they're little, a white woman believes she has to be saved by a man. What black woman believes that?
But beyond just that, what does that teach the white boys? That teaches the white boys that you control your society by having power. That the women will chase power. You don't chase the women. You chase power, and the women will chase you.
That's why That's why rich white boys don't walk around with Louis Vuitton shoes on and handbags. But black dudes with a couple of dimes will go and get some money because he believes, and I'm telling you, that's why they got a song called Dope Boy Fresh, because we believe that she's not going to get with you because you're a dope boy, but because you dress nice.
And that's
you can
the
get
truth.
A black woman,
so
seriously.
True.
You can get a black woman because you are flashy. You dress nice. A white boy will go to the club who is a millionaire and have on a white shirt and a pair of jeans with a nice pair of shoes and a nice belt.
You know, I mean, it's gotten to the point now.
In the rain.
We used to be able to say that the women were chasing these dudes and dope dealers for the money and stuff, but you know what? In reality, we can't even say that anymore. We can't say that they're chasing people for money. They're just chasing people because he's there.
They just chasing people because they heard the gun go off.
They're chasing him because he looks the part. You don't have to be the part now. And that's what I mean.
But does he even have to look the part anymore? We got dudes who are towed up from the floor.
That's why they have so many bootleg Gucci. Because
that's why they got all them fake Jacob watches. She right.
You actually have to prove that you are the part. You just have to look it.
Both of y'all are saying the same thing, but the black dope dealer now looks like this guy with a T-shirt, sagging jeans on, but he got Louis shoes on and a Gucci watch. And some, what do they call them, Gucci frames? Well, the first time I heard a black man say Gucci frames, I was like, what's that? He's like, oh, no, that's what type of glasses you have, the frame. And I was like, and you know this?
But look at all these lanes on Facebook
and
to YouTube.
Don't even know.
But take a look at all these lanes out there, man. They're just talking it. They're not even, in my opinion, though, they don't even look the part anymore. They just talk it. All they have to do is
wait a
minute.
They don't look
the part
to you. And I can understand that because they don't look the part to me either. But they look the part to these girls because they have all, if you notice, the lowest brand of Gucci always got the big G's on it. Now, I have a Gucci purses and things like that from when I was working and I was making a nice sum of money. But I would never buy anything with the logo printed on it. That's the lowest part of Gucci that you can buy. You can get a Coach purse with the big C's on it for $200. You can get a Coach bag that you don't even know is a Coach bag because you can't even see the label for $1,000.
How about I made CarMax mad because when they sold me my car, I told them to take that CarMax off the back of it.
There it is.
But I'm not going to free advertise for you.
But that's what they do. And so they make the lowest product with the biggest symbol on it because the symbols are what catch a black person's eye.
No, but at the end of the day, they're attracted to them because they're feminine. Because don't no fucking man walk around accessorizing and wearing fucking purses and belts and shoes and shit that match.
No real man goes
when
around
black
with ornamentation.
When black thugs start justifying having a Gucci handbag, I was done. When I heard Kanye West rap about that and nobody called him gay, I was done. When I start seeing these men, just like what Lars said, when you start seeing these men do stuff that would otherwise be considered that is gay, be considered not gay, there was a problem. When, like he said, when women were able to walk around with this man who's got his pants sagging and people can see he got a nice ass, don't you know if women can see that he's got a nice ass, men can too?
Right.
And why are you not concerned that your man is showing off his ass?
Thank you. There's a
Thank
problem
you.
With this.
Because she wants to be the man. She got her a bitch.
True life. But that's true life, though. I mean, really,
that's
they don't
real
want
life.
A man. They don't want a man. They want a flunky and a companion. They want a pet. And so long as he knows his place,
I believe
then
if
he
a black woman
around.
Could fit us, if I believe if a black woman could fit us in her purse like motherfucking Paris Hilton, like she do them dogs, they would stick us in their purse because they don't want to. Think about it. If they really wanted men of decision making. The men who are on this motherfucking radio show right now would have women falling all over them because these are strong men who are letting their voice be heard regardless of what the fuck happened. But have you noticed that we become outcasts because don't nobody want no nigga you can't control?
We're not really outcasts.
I'm going to take it one step farther. These men don't want no women that are women anymore either because they raise so much by these whores that they don't even know what a real woman is, so they get scared of a woman. They get scared.
That goes back to what Carla said earlier. But it's easier to be with a woman that takes care of you because I'm used to being taken care of because my mama babied me when I was a man. My mama didn't let me wash no clothes or cut no grass because we didn't have no grass or clothes to wash and we didn't have shit to do in the house anyway. Most of these niggas grow up without even a fucking chore.
My son take out the trash every day and he gets 50 cents a week.
But that's what I'm saying. These niggas don't have no chores. I always look at people with kids should never have to cut grass, point blank. If you got kids, your grass cutting days should be over when they turn about 8.
If you got a 25-year-old man in your house and dishes that ain't done and the roof ain't fixed and the plumbing's not done, something is wrong.
You know what? And that's crazy because, my husband, people say, you constantly depend on him. Hell yes. I always make a joke. Hell, he got all the muscles for a reason, for me to look at when I want to hump him and for him to move furniture around. I ain't moving shit in here. I'm not reaching up to change the light bulb. I will text him, baby, when you get home, can you put a light bulb in the light socket? Because I'm not doing that. Now I make sure his dinner is cooked, his clothes is washed and ironed, the dishes are washed, the house is clean. But damn it, if I want the couch on the other wall, you got to move that baby.
If you don't give a man something to do, he'll go outside of your house and look for something to do, point period,
yes,
point
he
blank.
Will.
I got a question for you. Do the females around you get mad at you for saying that?
I don't really have female friends because them bitches, you can't trust a bitch in your household.
Nah, when you marry this man, if you a black woman and you marry, you better cut them bitches off because they will fuck your husband. I know.
And not because they like him, just to get back at you because you have one and they don't.
And they want to prove to you that y'all, let me tell you something that's weird about black women. They always want to prove to other women that they man ain't shit. Tell me a lie.
They love that.
They want to prove to you that your man ain't better than no other man, and they'll fuck your man to prove it. I told you, girl, he was sorry.
But
we need to stay
friends.
Women got that dyke mentality. They will tell another woman to leave their man to come hang out with them.
Yeah.
A man will tell another man, nigga, you crazy? You ain't sucking my dick. She is.
Yeah.
I couldn't convince one of my homeboys to leave his wife if his wife cook and clean and fuck him. I don't give a damn what he witnessed. I could witness this bitch spit in his face. He'll be like, well, nigga, if I still leave, you ain't going to let me come live with you?
Exactly. Exactly. But you know what? These women, black women, are so masculine that that's what they do. Well, he don't do this for you. He don't do that for you. You don't know what goes on in my household. So keep your damn ass out of it.
Think about how many women have left relationships due to the fact that their friend urged them to.
You know what? If you have a friend in your relationship, she's not a friend. And that's what my grandmother taught me. When you have a relationship, the only people in that relationship are the persons that land in that same bed with you. Your kid's not even supposed to know what's going on in your marriage.
Let's bring in some more people. I'm excited. Let's bring in some more people and let them hear what they got to say. You know I got to bring in my man Surreal. I got to bring in South Central, and I got to bring in DJ Spoon. I got to go to DJ Spoon because I want to know if DJ a real DJ.
Hello?
DJ.
DJ Spoon.
Damn it, DJ Spoon. I gave you that big-ass intro, and your ass let me down. I need to stop giving niggas big intros.
He's spooning. That's what he's doing.
No,
am I on the line?
Shit.
I think
he went from cooning to spooning. When he first called in, it said DJ Coon. That's let me see if South Central got something to say. What up, South Central?
What up, man?
Not much. I was about to say, damn, he done let me down, too. Why you sound sad, man? Did we say something wrong?
Oh, you hear me right now?
Yeah, that's why I asked you what's up.
Oh, not much, man. Basically, your boy was just calling because I'm representing out here from L.A., South Central's finest. I was calling to respond to old boy that was at the barbershop. He mentioned something, the military vet. Is he still on?
I think he's here.
Hey,
let me see.
I need to pick your brain, my dude, because I'm over here on Florence and Vermont, man. You know where that's at. If you out here, you
damn,
know where
he
that's
did.
At.
He dipped. Unless, let me see if one of these other people are him, and I don't think it's him. Wait a minute. This might be him, because Cali is 313, ain't it?
No, 323.
I'm 5. Well, I don't know. It's a lot of different areas, though.
Yeah, there's a few new ones since I've been there. I was 213. Now, there's a few new ones. I know it's, I think it's 310.
213 is downtown.
I'm 510, and I'm all the way in Northern California.
Yeah, you in the Bay Area. I already know where you at.
Yeah, you can hear it.
Excuse me?
You can hear that.
No, I know 510 is like Oakland, San Leandro, stuff like that.
No, I can hear that Bay in her. I can hear that Bay in her accent.
Okay.
You really can?
Yes.
Well, just give a shout out to JJ's Fish and Chicken out there, and all over there on the 404 in Decatur. Also, what was that? Wesley Chapel.
Wesley
Road?
Chapel, you know it.
Yeah, I love it, man. Love it.
Well, he ain't on here, but what was it you wanted to talk to him about?
Man, I wanted to pick his brain because he mentioned something that made me pick up the phone and dial, which was the California state laws. Now, the cool part about it, I stay out here, man. I'm LA native. And it's just that I need to know my laws because I'm dealing with the 80% ratchet, unfortunately.
Well, what's happening, my brother? Because
you dealing with
the
hair hat. Go ahead.
Nah, you know what? You know what, man? Here's the business. I'm 32, my dude. My ex-wife, she did me wrong, man. She did me cold-blooded. See, I'm a laid-off truck driver. When the money ran out too. She left with the kids, brought up a gang of BS, man. And I'm remarried right now, and I got a third child. But the thing is, your boy just need to get that brain pick so I can know them laws, man. So when I run,
she fucking with you the same way she was fucking with him.
Say what?
She fucking with you the same way that old girl was fucking with old dude?
Oh, damn, I didn't even hear that part.
Oh, I said, is she fucking with you the way that old girl was fucking with old dude?
I know, but who's old dude?
Oh, the one in Cali. Remember, he was the one who said that when he went to a new girl, his old girl was the one messing with him, messing with his money, messing with his new marriage, trying to mess it up.
No. See, basically, here's the thing, dog. I never cheated before a day in my life, dog. I've always been the faithful guy. Always been, the standby.
Well, that's where you messed up at the beginning, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Get away from me, Tommy.
And see, the thing is, my man, while I was out, slipping and sliding on 18 wheels, ice skating and shit, your boy, had his wife at home messing with my I guess I could call him my uncle.
You know what I'm saying? No.
I guess you could call him dad.
Oh, yeah. And see,
you know what I said earlier now.
And see, the thing about it is your boy, I didn't know who it was. But, of course, when you're used to things going a certain way, you can tell what's going on if somebody's cheating. You know what I'm saying? It's just that, like I said, I didn't know who it was, but I know what was going on. And your boy almost went to jail for domestic violence because she tried to push me there, dog. She really did. She really did. And the thing is, I know she's unfit to take care of the kids. That's the thing. I've already established with a spot, with my new wife. Been married since May 11th. So I already got a third child and stuff. And my marriage is going great because, I went another way.
How do you know that she's unfit?
How do I know?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, when we first met, I'm not the type of person that get with females with tattoos. I like a woman that's pure. You know what I'm saying? I don't deal with anybody that smoke because I don't smoke. You know what I'm saying? She started with the bad habit of smoking cigarettes. I don't even like that in my house.
What do you mean she started? Was that something that happened after you got married?
Pretty much at the end of our relationship. Because basically she was about herself, And when she realized that I got tired of it.
Does your child have asthma? See, the reason why I'm asking you these questions, because if your child, let's say your child has asthma and she's smoking cigarettes and you can prove that she's smoking in the house, that would deem her unfit. And then you could get custody of those kids. So I'm asking you these specific questions due to the fact that I do know certain laws, because I am in California, that can help you get custody of your child.
What she's basically telling you is you got to find places that she's deficient in her parenting and it's ways that you can exploit.
Yes, that's
exactly
what I'm saying.
Can I say something because I've been through that recently?
So if she's smoking and
your baby has asthma,
there it is
right there. I'll give you that one part right there. Never. I've always worked, but she stooped low by leaving her, father's house because she was over there getting taken care of. She left her house over there with her pops to go move back out here in L.A. just to claim homeless so she can get on welfare and get the Section 8 going. Now, I ain't never lived like that. I always, was off my ass. And now, my kids being exposed.
Now, see, the things that you're saying are bad, but in the state of California, that's not unfair.
They're not
bad
enough.
Yeah.
That's not going to get you a case. That's why I'm asking questions that
I've been through this just recently, so I'm going to tell you like this. I got phone records.
Yep, that's what I'm doing.
I had mine admitted the things that she was doing outside of the phone records from her own mouth in court, as in taking my son to a psychiatrist and putting him on medication and getting him diagnosed at 4 and 5 years old when you can't even do that shit.
Right. That's why I'm asking you specific questions
now,
to prove.
Exactly. You're going to have to prove these things on paper, on tape.
I got a case where
and
she
tell you, and
was an identity theft. You know what I'm saying?
But you're going to have to get the evidence.
You need the paperwork. You need the paperwork on this.
Oh, yeah, time on the table. I just found out recently, you know what I'm saying? Just right before I found out there was such thing as the Tommy Sotomayor, you know what I'm saying? My damn internet got cut off, you know what I'm saying?
No, you know what
I
was doing, too?
And I had to go get with Time Warner. I filed a report. I'll be going Monday the 26th to Officer Ramirez downtown L.A. You know what I'm saying?
Find out if she's put anything in the kids' name, because you have their social security number. Pull a credit record on the children. If she has something in those kids' names, she could be deemed unfit. See, I'm giving you specific examples of what you can use in court and have a paper trail behind it.
Oh, yeah.
If anything is in those children's name, then
hey,
you can take those kids.
Vicky, here's the bigger point. The bigger point is this, you know what I'm saying? I really love my kids, you know what I'm saying? I really want them to have a chance in life, you know, because I'm more of a stable person. Like I said, I'm remarried. I already got a two-bedroom house, and I started out for nothing after she kicked me out and took everything and put a domestic violence charge on me, which wasn't even true, and gave
me
a restraining order. But I came back on my feet in 3 years' time, you know what I'm saying? And your boy's still moving on. She's still at the same goddamn place. And I don't want my kids, the longer they with her, the more fucked up their heads is getting. You know what I'm saying? At least with
my
over here to be a... Go ahead.
I want to tell you this, and I want to be honest with you. Everything that she does to you is going to have cover. When you walk into court, she has home field advantage.
Yep.
We already know that. We're
in
the state of California.
No. You need to understand what my point is. You're going to have to prove everything to a T. And even at that, be prepared to know that you still might lose
because
they
she automatically
in
goes
her.
In winning. She automatically goes in winning. You
right.
have to prove. She automatically goes in right. You automatically go in wrong. You have to prove her wrong. She doesn't have to prove you wrong. She's automatically.
Now my man Jim,
right
hold on a second,
call.
Guys. My man Jim said he's on the line, but I don't see him. Jim said he's on the line, but I don't see a 310. This is crazy. I don't. But he's telling me he's on it, and maybe, you know, there are a lot of numbers.
You know what,
in
tell
the
him
school.
To press 1 and then press 1 again because it'll renew the number because it'll take him off the line, and then tell him to press 1 again to get back on the line.
All right, let me try that. Jim, press 1 to get off the line, then press it again to get back on.
Yeah, because I need barbershop guy.
Oh, fuck just happened.
Fella, from my own experience, I don't want you to go in this with no... You can be a better person. You can have a better setup.
Kyrie did it. Salim did it. Everybody did it at once.
That's why your boy is going over here seeking some advice, especially after
what I heard. Y'all niggas is out of line. RC did it.
They press 1. They press 1 and they press 1 again.
Yes. They all went down and came back up. Cena did it. Now they just being assholes. I don't see no CTM, no. I don't see no 310. Let me bring in Tina and
hey,
RC right
door.
Quick.
You know
Tina, RC,
man,
why did y'all do what y'all just did?
Because you told me to.
I saw you earlier messing with the computer and talk about, well, I don't know what I'm doing here, so I figured, let me press the button. This chick later sounded like she knew what she was talking about. Sorry, Tommy.
That's crazy.
You know your business, lady. You need a tech. You need a computer tech there, Tommy.
No. I let people talk too long. That's how the way the show works. I let people talk it out. That's why when I let y'all on, I let you talk it out. People be like, why don't you let everybody on? I'm like, I can't do that because the conversation doesn't flow long. It my whole kick is I want people to feel like they're at home when they talk. I don't want them to feel rushed because these are rare moments within, and especially for us to hear. You hear how many black women on here? Do you hear how many black women have been giving their opinions and have been saying things that, hell, a lot of black men want to hear. You hear how that man said, damn, Shy, I'm pretty sure women get mad at you. Because we as black men never get to hear somebody that actually is talking to us and not talking about us.
Amen.
Because I tell you one thing, there is nothing stronger and more powerful than a black union going in the right direction. And if black women knew how to appreciate their man and know how to love their man, you will never have to worry about anything.
The only
black
unions people really think are strong are the motherfuckers that work for GM, and the only black trailblazers left are in Portland.
That's it. Because a black man will do things that a white man won't do to hold his family together. A white man will kill himself if his money get low. A black man will go find another job. If you
give
him the spirit.
No, I'm going to give white men more credit when I say this. A white man will kill himself so his wife would get the insurance. That's why the insurance laws are the way it was.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
white men
yeah,
used to kill themselves to let their wives get. When everybody think about how white men used to jump out of windows during the crash of 29, they think it was because the white men were weak. Them white men were killing themselves so their wives wouldn't lose money.
Case in point, out there in Indianapolis right now.
Hold on a second. Talk on that, Jason, because I know what you're talking
about. You heard about the house that exploded out there in Indianapolis here last week, and now the investigators are saying that it was not accidental. They're not saying it wasn't a gas leak, but they're saying it's not accidental. And mark my words on this, I believe that that was insurance fraud. People talking about meth lab and stuff. No, I think this was insurance fraud. Now, look how far these white folk were willing to go. Blew up the house, killed two people and whatnot. Can I get a check out of it?
He probably used too much dynamite.
I heard that this morning.
Blew up the whole fucking neighborhood.
That was in Indianapolis?
Now, if they're willing to do that, now, if he's willing to do that to support his family, killing you ain't a question.
I will never believe that black men are willing to go as far as white men, because if they were, slavery would have ended not because white people got tired, but because they had killed off so many damn slaves.
White folk are willing to sacrifice all their sons and daughters to take a dollar off the cost of gas.
Ooh.
Damn.
White women are willing to sacrifice their damn kids just to show another white man that they don't have no kids.
Uh-huh. Black woman sacrifice her kids just to leave.
White woman said that this motherfucking white man is a sinner and he said he don't date women with kids. Ooh, them kids is fucked up when she get back home. Mama, how'd your date go? Well, I got some good news, some bad news.
the good news is he's Mr. Right. The bad news is y'all are through.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Tommy, real quick.
Hop in, Rossi.
Yeah, the guy, the truck driver?
Oh,
okay, I
want to
give him
what,
a little
what?
Knowledge. When,
no, I said I'm going to lay it off, man. Lay it off.
Oh, it don't matter, okay? This is how it goes. You take out a petition in court. Okay, if you think that she ain't doing right by your kids, then you got to make an accusation against her. You feel that she ain't fit, you go fill out a petition, that's your claim. Okay, then you make sure the courts have lawyers for children, and you make sure that they get a hold of the case. And what they'll do is they'll check out, are them kids going to school on a regular basis? They'll check out their medical records. They'll find out if she's giving them their yearly checkups. I don't know how young they are. Are they getting their vaccination shots, et cetera, et cetera. If any of all the above come out that she's late or she doesn't, that'll prove in some way that she's unfit. Okay, so try to get children for lawyers. Okay, they got lawyers just for your child. And they'll interview them, okay, in private without the mother being there. And they'll ask some questions, how's home doing, you know, how do you feel about your mama and this and that. And, you know, kids don't lie. Kids will tell another person in a minute, well, yeah, mom's always talking about daddy. And daddy, you know, I love my daddy or whatever. But if she talking shit in the home, you know, they might tell, you know, the psychologist at the court.
Let me just say something really quick. In California, that is
Uncle's
not
still in the household.
You cannot use that in court unless the child is over 11 years old. They cannot interview them unless they are over 11. So that would not work. I don't know how it is in other states.
And they still
are
strict as far as, like, a lot of things that are going on with the women. California is almost like New York, where they give the woman carte blanche until you can prove that motherfucker. You have to overtly prove that they've done something wrong.
That's my
point. It's usually borderline
to
abuse or neglect.
And that's why I was asking him questions that I was asking him. Because, like, the baby had an asthma, and her smoking and having smoke holes around there, that could be deemed unfit automatically.
Yeah.
Her using the child's name and putting credit in the child's name, getting a PG&E or anything in a child's name, that could be deemed unfit. A child's statement is not held in the court of California until it's 11 years old, and then it only represents about 3-4% of the case.
Well, New York is different. In New York, they have a psychologist talk to the child, and they really don't care. Basically, after 6 years old, They'll listen to a child. They know that a child sometimes have a problem expressing themselves, but you know that some kids say things, you know, whatever, and they first thing they want to know is, well, how would, you know, he or she know that? And why is she saying that?
Only
well, if
they're
talking to a six-year-old, they better let Bill Cosby do the interviewing.
No, but here they
get kids say the darnest thing.
Yeah, you have to be 11 or older. So he needs to get paper on her, and that's why I was asking him. See, these things can be proven and are deemed unfit automatically.
Hey,
how
many
vaccinations cannot be?
Custody?
See, vaccinations are not a law ordered. That's a personal choice. You don't have to get your child vaccinated. I know women that do not. There's a whole group of them that don't get their child vaccinated because they feel autistic.
Yeah, that works for white people. It don't work for us, though. I can tell you that much. The bottom
Hold
line
on.
Is
tell you that
there is some.
I can tell you in California, I know quite a few black girls that do
New York
not have
and
their
New
kids.
Jersey, it's mandatory. And I'm sorry, this is Tina, and I'm from Jersey.
Hey, girl.
In New York and New Jersey, it's mandatory. In fact, if you don't get the immunization shots done at a certain time, they have every right to deny your children admission until you can prove
Damn.
That they've had those. Yeah.
And
let them decide to go ahead and school, homeschool or something to that
but
effect.
But California's more liberal when it comes to that. Cause
California
is
more liberal.
And
you can sign an affidavit saying that you don't want your child to have shots, and they can go to school.
Yeah, but that depends
okay, I got,
the state
hold
that
on,
you're
hold
in.
Hold on, y'all. Y'all going state to state with schematics with the guy. He needs to know some straight up things. And I'm going to tell you one thing that you're not going to like, but you're going to need to hear. She's going to use that same uncle as part of a family structure. So if you get information on her, you better get information on everybody that's around her and prove all of them motherfuckers dysfunctional too.
Yeah.
And she's going to do that just to piss you off. So you act funny.
Yeah.
So, but don't take that bait.
All right. Let me bring in, another person.
Too.
I want to bring in Salim. Salim, you got some advice for the brother?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, good. You can hear me. That's good. Now, you guys are discussing child custodies, I believe.
Yep.
First of all, what state you in, man? Let's get that out the way.
Oh, I'm in the state of Pennsylvania. I'm in Philadelphia, PA, to be exact.
Okay.
Well, talk to us. We talking about how the difference of laws is. How does it work there? What do you think the brother could do?
Well, the one thing that I would highly suggest is that, he's having some issues with his so-called, now his former wife. He feels as though that at some point that this woman is not a fit mother. Now, I'm going to elaborate more about what the other gentleman said about bringing forth the accusation. Now, if you feel as though that your mama or your kid's mama is not a fit enough mom towards the kids, then of course a man should be able to demonstrate his ability to bring forth a petition or whatever and go to a court and say, hey, I think this woman is not good for my kids. I want to take custody of the children. Now,
hey, let me say something right quick, my dude. Hey, this is playing in Vicky, too. Hey, one reason why I did bring this up, because I was hearing, too, from a couple of guy associates, around the neighborhood, that all the judge really care about out here in California is not taking care of the kids. If you can prove that you can take care of the kids on your own, which I can prove, then I can basically take custody, because they ain't trying to keep the kids on welfare.
That's not true.
Yeah, I don't.
It's the opposite.
That's not true at all.
They want to know who's
going to pay in the least. They rather give that child to that woman. It's like it's a Herculean effort to get your child. That why do you think there's so many celebrities who still can't get their children and they got the money to try?
Yeah, Usher.
Yes, and
I'm gonna
say something, and it's probably gonna irritate you too. But I'm gonna tell you
that's
this.
Why I didn't make a move.
What she's going to do is she is going to divide and conquer. And when I say divide and conquer, if there is anything that she knows about you that your wife don't know before you go to court, you better let your wife know. Because her first move to do is to break up that household.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, of course. Of
she's
course.
Going to break up that household. So if there's
I'm
anything
a,
that your wife don't know, if there's anything that your wife don't know or that you might have forgotten that's going to irritate your wife, you need to let her know now, because she is going to break the household up. And once that household is broken, that judge is not going to give you those kids.
And if it's anything you've done, if it's anything that you've done in her presence, because you know what we do is sometimes because we love somebody and that's our person, we'll do great shit in front of them. But, you know, sometimes we might have to do some fucked up shit to get by. Well, they're going to bring it up. And for some reason, the judge will listen to them. If I sold dope for 3 years and it helped the house run because this bitch didn't have a job, do you know she can throw up that I sold dope for 3 years?
And the judge won't say,
but you were sitting there letting him do it?
Why was you messing with him? Exactly. The judge ain't even going to say nothing about that. So you need
to
make sure that your household is solid before you go to war.
Because this is why black men typically have no shot at going to court, because we do exactly what
you know what, dog?
What Shot just said.
So clean.
We go into court, and then they start releasing shit we didn't tell nobody about. We didn't tell the judge. I mean, we didn't tell our lawyer. We didn't tell our wife. We didn't tell none of the people. We didn't tell our mama, and she was supposed to be one of our character witnesses. Now this bitch is on there talking shit about us because we forgot to tell her we got caught sucking dick in public.
Oh, Lord. anything. Because the main thing that you have right now is that you are remarried and you have a child on the way, so you look like the stable family. If she could turn your wife against you and put stress and strife in that household, then that's going to reflect in court. And that's all she needs to secure her position. You need to make sure that you have been completely honest with yourself and been completely honest with your now wife, because she is going to drag up everything that she can, especially if she feels like she's backed in the corner. And if she can turn your wife against you in your household 24 hours a day, she don't need to judge, because your wife will do that part. Because
and
all,
you know
all
what
needs to happen right now is your wife file for a divorce.
If you go to court, if a black man goes to court and he wants to win anything, his motherfucker not only better he better not only have his ducks in a row, but them motherfuckers better be able to sing five part harmony.
No doubt.
Well, you know what? To that man, my record is so damn clean himself as shelves, okay?
Let me ask you a question. Does she know your new wife?
Oh, she knows of her.
Okay. Not of her. Does she know?
She don't know of her. Okay, so
she's seen her. They've met before.
Right. If you decide to go to court, never bring her along. This is between you and your ex.
I'm big on that.
Never bring her along.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Leave her out of it completely.
Wrong. That is wrong. Because
she's gonna
do, she gonna bring a million motherfuckers to say that she got all these people on her side. You need to bring people on your team.
Yeah, but a judge.
Well, a judge is going to want to see the wife, because he's going to want to know if the wife wants to even have that child. If you're petitioning to get that child, the judge is going to ask that wife, do you even want this child in the house?
Right.
Yeah, and they
want to
see what type of person she is.
Let the judge make the call. If the judge wants to know, then of course he will say, I want to see your wife and see how she feels about
it. I understand what he's saying. Don't have her in court all the time so she can hear everything. I know what he's saying.
You know,
no, I
know
who
you're
talking about. I be
her.
Keeping my girl abreast of nothing. I tell her the talking points when I get home.
Yeah,
I'm
serious.
Anything that happens, I get that motherfucker the talking points. I'll be damned. You don't need to be up in here with me. They might talk about them times back when I had a sub for Elmo. I don't need them to know this.
Oh, my God. Hold up,
fam.
I want you to think about something. If your ex was that dirty enough to sleep with your family member, and you can bring that up in court, what's going to happen is she's going to bring everybody, a bunch of people in for her character, like she's a different person and a new person.
She might be able to get some of your family members. If some of your family members was dirty enough to fuck her, she might be able to get some of your family members. And you know this is black men. All y'all black men on the line right now know. It ain't hard to
get
somebody in our family to turn against us.
Well, let's get this straight, my man. First of all, I didn't even know this guy was my uncle until we had a mutual family member come through at the same time, you know. So basically, he's like a distant uncle.
Well, I can't feel that bad then. I don't feel that bad then. He's just a random cat that's there with your girl.
I get you on that. I'm just telling you, when you catch somebody red-handed doing something that dirty, they got to make themselves look clean.
Of course.
So what they're going to do is they're going to bring people along to make them look clean. If her actions is dirty and you can prove her actions is dirty,
she's still going to bring people along and say, well, I'm not dirty anymore. And because
you
she's
know what
a woman,
dirty people do,
quote unquote,
what dirty people do is they bring you down to their level. They know if you look clean, they look dirtier. But they know if you look as dirty as them, they just even
right.
the playing field.
And you know
right.
what? I'm
yeah.
going to tell you also something that happens in the state of California. What caused your divorce cannot be brought up in court for a custody battle. So if she cheated on you and that's why you got a divorce from her, that is no longer valid in custody because her being a whore has nothing to do with her parenting skills in the state of California.
Get the hell out of here. For real?
I'm serious. I'm telling you honestly the things that I know.
Oh, yeah.
She's telling
yeah.
the truth.
Things
Oh, you
yeah.
can be
what
a streetwalker and still be considered the primary parent.
Parent.
Kim Kardashian.
So that, what, her sleeping with his uncle has nothing to do with it. And if he
nope.
brings that up, that's going to make him look bad, not her. Because that's going to make him
thing.
Look,
here's
quote, unquote, still bitter.
Well, that's why I was
me.
Asking
that's
him okay. about it, because I was like, when did you find out she was an unfit parent? Because what the judge is also going to ask, I'm telling you, the judge is going to also ask you that question. When did
you
know she was an unfit
her?
Parent? Because
unfit
you chose
parent.
To procreate with an unfit woman twice.
So did you know this before she got, before you got married, after you got married? And then why are you just now, why are you just now filing for the kids because you were trying to get
there?
Yourself stable? But they're going to ask you, when did you find out? And then they're going to want situations that can be proven by paperwork. That's why I were asking you the things that I was asking you. Because if she smoked,
and please
asthma.
Don't
if
let
she,
it be that she left you, because if she left you and she can tell them she left you, ooh, you behind the eight ball. Because they going
to
say you was still willing to baby
order.
Her when she was bad.
That's why she got the restraining order. Remember that.
Yep.
I heard
she already
played
her cards right.
If she left you, if you a man and she left you, you fucked.
Yep. She's 10 steps ahead of you already. So right now, the only way you can prove it is through medical or financial. And financial has to be that, not that she's poor, but that she's fucking over the kids because she's poor. Not that they don't have coats, but that she's doing something illegal with the kids' social security numbers. If she's selling the kids, find this out. Has anybody filed taxes on your kids? Because in California, people sell their kids.
Oh, yeah.
To file
yeah,
taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all see
oh,
this
yeah.
shit?
Oh, yeah.
It's some
oh,
white
yeah.
boy.
Oh,
hold
yeah.
on. I got to say this. It's some motherfucking white boy that plays school. Of a college basketball. You know this nigga just scored 138 points in a game.
Damn.
His name is Jack Taylor. He on the phone right now with ESPN. He's a guard. His name Jack Taylor. He scored 138 points. He went 52 for 108.
What was he playing by himself?
Exactly.
That's something else, Mr. Sotomayor.
It said this nigga shot 77% from the field.
The start at the five when the opponents were sitting on the bench.
He shot, he averaged one shot per second. I mean, excuse me. He shot, he averaged one shot per 20 seconds.
Damn.
Pass the ball away.
Is that Guinness? Is that Guinness?
He's. He was 38 points better than the next man with Will Chamberlain.
Damn.
Exactly.
Oh,
they
wow.
must have just been giving that white boy the ball.
Hey,
it ain't a black
ain't
dude either. It's a white dude.
He still ain't going to get drafted.
Oh, no. He ain't going to go in the... He going to be selling cars in 3 years talking about how good he was in college.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just saw this. I've never seen no shit like that ever.
I ain't never heard of
that. You know, I don't
like
watch
that.
Basketball because I always lose the ball, so I don't know anything about it.
That motherfucker took 108 shots. I thought Tupac could take shots. Damn.
Shut up. You
probably still
have you it. Done the video yet, Tommy?
No, I haven't done
it. You should call, I remember that video. I remember that suggestion. You should call it Title Whores or something.
I am going to hell for that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you are. You're going to hell for a lot of stuff. You're already down there, so don't worry.
You're right. I got so much
shit
on my ledger, I can't
just
come back.
Upgraded to a suite.
You know, I told somebody else that somebody asked me something talking about you going to go to hell, Shaw. I said, baby, I've been signed that deed for that piece of property. I'm just trying to upgrade to the newer model.
That's what I'm saying. I don't even understand why people say that to me. I'm like, quit saying shit like that to me, man. You don't know. If I'm going to hell, you're going to be the one let me in.
People gotta understand. You create your own heaven and hell on this earth, so they need to chill out.
No, but the brother was talking about something that's really serious. But that goes back to what the topic is, even though we weren't on it, we have been on it. The idea of women wanting superiority. You got a man.
That's why I
call. And think about it this way.
Too.
Think about how many rich men.
That stuck to me.
Well, think about
taxes.
This. Think about how many rich men can't even get their fucking kids, but the baby mama can run around and complain about not paying the bills because he didn't pay them. So if that's the case, why doesn't he have custody of that child?
Because that's not the way the system is set up. Because we talked about this. The system is set up, and the reason why black women have the kids is because black women are the highest consumers. So they know if they get the black kids in the black woman's household, the money of the black man will be spent, whether he's there or not, through child support.
It is hypocritical, I must say.
I got to say something.
Go ahead.
People got to understand something. Just because they might get the kids young, don't mean they get the kids old or grown. Even if you win, homeboy, you win. No. But I get that. But even if you don't win the kids in court early, you gotta remember if you're gonna be a father or a better parent, that kid gonna eventually figure it out.
Yeah, and they're gonna end up with you by default. Because
these same women we always talking about, are their kids around them when they're adults? Do their kids fuck with them when they're adults? Do their kids fuck with them when they're teenagers?
And that's what's scary, too. Like, a black man, we're supposed to go and fight this court system that's set up to fuck you over. And if
it
you
is.
Don't fight it, the same woman that was trying to force you to go to court to fight her to see your kids says you ain't shit because you didn't fight her now.
You didn't fight for him.
Yep.
Damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Because I'll tell a bitch in a minute, tell me I can't see that child. Fuck you and the child, too. How can you say that? Because I'm not going to jail for nobody else and this damn child. Because when a black man gets caught up in that system arguing with that bitch over that child, let me tell you something. That's what's going to happen. You're going to go to jail. Watch.
You know what? You end up like old boy that you did a tidbit on. I think it was November 15 where he got shot in front of that shoe store. And the baby mom was behind the police officer.
Yep.
Yeah, I seen that. That one stuck to me. Boy, that stuck
if black
to me,
men do not learn that as soon as you get in that court system, if you're not Dwayne Wade and you got a bunch of money, or she ain't a crackhead, you are at her mercy and that white judge, because they usually make sure they give a black woman a white male judge. Because if you ever notice, and the numbers bear it out, when there's a white female judge, a black man has a better chance against a black woman.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
But it's set up for her to have the kids because that's where the money goes. The money goes with the kids, and they know that she's going to put the money back in the system because we only make up 13%.
But
the black women are the highest consumers in the country.
But
so that's
that.
Why
it's an easy way to get a man
of felony.
That is, they get free labor from us. They put our ass in there 6 months at a damn time for a fucking debt. A debt
you know
to
what?
A bitch, then find out that the bitch done told them a lie, the child ain't yours, but you don't get reimbursed, she don't get put in jail. If you don't think that's a racket, I don't know what is.
It is a complete racket.
And not only that, you know what I'm saying, why does he have to get incarcerated for the kids?
That's in Georgia, man. They don't do that.
Again,
you
still lose, because if you get incarcerated for the kid, they now calling you a deadbeat.
Or
think about when you watch Maury.
The
man is called a deadbeat before he even knows if the child is his. That doesn't make sense.
You get incarcerated for two reasons. One is for free labor. Two is for she'll come to visit your ass then to get your son or daughter accustomed to jail.
Wow. Subliminal messaging. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't believe that that's true? Why do you think that these rappers were doing videos at one point inside of jails? They were always a jail somewhere. They were always talking about them coming home from jail. They were always touting that they had been to jail. You don't think that that's subliminal, the reason why the people who own the record companies, and I ain't going to say no names, but they surely are putting out people talking about some they've been to jail all the time to where it's cool now? To where a nigga will do something to go to jail so he can come back out and say, I've been to jail. Think
he'll
about
get a
that.
Record to make a record.
And go platinum.
Wait a minute. Tommy, so are you telling me, let me get this right, let me get this straight. Are you saying that a woman can lie about a man being a father of her kids for 18 years, and at the end, she don't get, nothing happens to her?
I know a man right now.
Well, in
he went to jail twice for kids. One of the kids' kidneys failed. He went to go get tested to see if he could donate. They said, sir, that's not your child. Then found out that two more of his five kids he had with this woman were not his.
I think I heard about that one.
But in New Jersey, it is different. I personally know someone that took care of a child up until that child was 7 years old. The rumor mill started kicking out the possibility of him not being the father, so he finally got the DNA test. Turned out that he was not the father, and he actually sued the mother, got his child support back, and then some.
Good.
Yeah, that doesn't work
so
in California.
I guess
it's
all different. So that'll work like in Georgia.
And that's someone I know personally. That wasn't something I read or heard. I know that
in California,
personally.
Even if you aren't the father, if you're married, you're still responsible for those kids.
Hell, look at what happened with Neo. Neo got a pay, and he found out it wasn't his, and the child is three.
That's fucked up.
You still in California? If you are married to the woman. That child that is conceived during the time of that marriage, even if it is not yours, you are still deemed responsible for.
Same as Georgia.
I was about to say, I think that might be across the United States, because every state I've heard men say that same thing. If you have if a woman has a baby within a marriage, they don't give a fuck who the daddy is. You the daddy.
No. You the daddy.
And yes, so, you assumed responsibility.
What kind of law is that?
Law used to punish men, again, where we're looking for this idea of do women want equality or superiority? Because if women wanted equality, they would say we are not cool with this rule being here. We're not cool with this being a law because it puts the man at risk. And we don't want to put men at risk because it's not fair.
I'm sorry, Tommy, that's why I called. I'm sorry. I got so wrapped up and was on hold for so long. Women and equality, this what I have to say on that whole topic is this is for all these women that say that they either want to be equal or they want to be superior over men, especially the ones who claim that they love Jesus and the Lord knows their heart. Sometimes it's really, really simple if you're a believer in any kind of organized religion, if you will. First and foremost, Adam, if you're reader of the Bible, Adam was created first. That's first and foremost. Secondly, Eve was created to assist and help Adam. She was women. We were not created to eventually take over. It's nowhere in the Bible, the Quran, or the Torah where we as women are supposed to dominate or even be equal for that matter. That is why we were built even just aesthetically differently. We are not supposed to take over the world. We're not supposed to take over our men. That's for these women that go to church on Sunday and then walk out and say, I don't need a man.
You know they don't pay that shit no attention.
But that's the whole problem. It's sometimes the answers are right there. It's right there. Those, like I said, what I'm saying is for those of us women that claim that we believe in a higher power and we follow a religion of sorts. All three
that
of them.
That just knocked out all black women right there. You don't even have to go
exactly.
All the
God is not
exactly.
here to exact his revenge. Let me tell you something. The reason why it's so easy for black women to believe in religion is because even if they do wrong, they don't get punished for it.
Yeah, because the Lord knows my heart, right? Famous last words. The Lord knows my heart, or the only person that can judge me is God. But
I'd love the United States government if I never got in trouble fucking with them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the subliminal message of that is if Jesus was black and you still won't listen to Jesus, why the fuck would you listen to a regular black man?
They don't believe
he's black. Exactly. Well, exactly. They want to believe in the blonde hair and blue-eyed image, which coincidentally was that whole image. Wait, that whole image came from an artist that saw this blonde hair, blue-eyed guy, thought he was stunning. They were both homosexual men, by the way. Painted a portrait of him, and eventually they were like, you know what? This man, we don't even know who he is, but I think he would make a great Jesus. And that's why we rock with that image of him.
And let me tell you another reason why white people rock with that image, because it's white people who do it, because white people are smart. You want your people to look up to your people, because even if they think, look at this way. If Jesus is supposed to be a Jew, why do you think white people successfully turned him into a white man?
Exactly.
They turned this man into a blonde-haired, blue-eyed man. Show me a bunch of blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jews. That's why Jews don't believe in him. See, at least Jews are smart enough to say, then not that dude.
That's not ours. He's not ours.
Even
I don't even know who he
is. Somewhere, I'm going to just take it there. That's why people are becoming atheists now, because people are saying, well, Jesus is black. Then now you don't see the pictures no more. Now motherfuckers don't believe in God no more. Now when they start talking about the Greek gods actually being from Africa, watch how fucked up their family life was.
If you have a black Jesus, everybody thinks it's a joke. That's why if a white girl walked out right now with a black girl's extension in her hair, even black girls would laugh. Because black girls think black women has joke. Black girls think black women are a joke.
Well, a really good example
of that. And I have a picture of anybody
that
with a full lace front wig on, and she was defending it, and she looked a hot-ass mess.
Why is it that we don't think we look ridiculous with white people's hair in our head, but we laugh if they put it in theirs, if they put black folks' hair in theirs? That doesn't make any sense.
And
that
no,
looks like a man walking
I've
around
heard,
with breast implants making fun of a woman with breast implants.
But I've heard, I've actually heard black women who wear weaves say to white women that wear the clips and the weaves, she's trying to be black. That has got to be, that's definitely in my top 10 dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. Because
yeah, I've heard a white, I heard a black girl call a white girl with braids trying to be
black. That white girl trying to be black, and I'm like, why? Because she got a weave. But sweetheart, your weave is in the texture of the white woman's hair. So who is she really trying to be like? She's not trying to be like you. You're trying to be like her.
Right, and they talk about white women tanning. White women don't tan to look black.
No, they just want a little bit more color. They want to look exotic.
And they tan naturally. They can walk out, put a white bitch out in the field, let her pick some cotton, see what happens when she come back in the evening.
She's going to turn red or she's going to turn brown.
That and something else that I've said to a black girl that told me, she's like, white, these white chicks, they always trying to look black. You, I've yet to see a white woman get her nose larger. They'll get their lips fuller. Yeah, they'll do that. Because, I mean, let's just keep it real. Thin lips are just ugly. I think that's just in the step, you know, whatever. But I've yet to see a white
person. But they're still not trying to look black because black women act like they have a monopoly on nice lips. Go to Brazil and tell, and then come back and tell me who got nice lips.
Exactly.
But full lips are not just not
no, because dudes got full lips.
Full lips throughout all races. But
let's just hit the root of the problem. What about the fact that black women white women don't lower their standards when they date black men. But black women will lower their standards to date white men.
You see that fat-ass woman that was able to marry Vince Woolfork and that fat bitch had two kids? He made this bitch at Taco Bell. This is no lie. NBA players married, NFL players married to a fat white bitch he met at Taco Bell.
Yep.
Yeah, you're talking about...
I thought they met on the internet site.
No,
they were on TacoBell.com.
They went to the prom together. He was with her for a long time.
Yeah.
That must have been a long taco, time. Man.
But think about it.
Sisters was outraged when those pictures, like when they had the little wedding pictures or prom pictures or whatever, they were disgusted.
But my thing is, white women are still smart enough to say, if you make a man feel like a man, that nigga will roll over for you.
That's it. That my grandfather raised me to know the importance of letting a man be a man. And he also explained to me the difference between a male and a man.
Yep.
Because a penis is the only, again, it's aesthetics. It's how we're built that just separates us between male and female. Versus being a woman and a man. And when you find that you got a real man, a good man, you let him do what he was born to do. But we
and
don't
women, it
do
ain't
that.
About getting married. It really isn't. Sometimes, I mean, some people don't build for marriage. My thing is, a woman that knows a man never leaves a relationship unfulfilled, no matter how many she leaves.
Nope. People
she don't have to be married.
Me.
She can be 50
look,
years
people,
old and not be bitter. Why?
People
that bitch knew
day,
every man I picked was a man.
People to this day, I'm married, divorced. I've had 4 serious relationships, and I don't have a horror story about any of them. And people find that so hard to believe. because sisters will be, well, sisters are quick to, because you know how that is, girl. Niggas, they be doing this and they cheating. No, no, I don't. No, no, I don't. Because, yeah. Look, my ex-husband and I, we are as thick as thieves. I wear my hair really, really short. My ex-husband owns a barbershop. He just left my house earlier this evening to cut our son in my head.
Yeah, he cut you up.
Nah, see?
He cut
and
you up,
that's
didn't
always
he?
The assumption. But see, that's another assumption. Because this is be like, oh, so y'all still, no.
Wait a minute, he didn't cut you up?
My hair. On my head.
I think he meant something else, so I cut you up.
That's why I specifically said my hair on my head.
I heard it, Tommy.
I don't, look, I don't have, at 39 years old, I don't have any horror stories. I've heard, I can tell some because of what I've heard, even what I've seen from my mother. But me, myself, I don't have any horror stories. The four breakups that I've had, they were mutual. It was like, you know what, this has run its course. One situation was, you know, my ex at the time, he was going in a, literally a different direction. He wanted to move overseas. I wasn't ready for that.
I tell people that they've ever driven across country. I said, like, where have you driven? A lot of people tell me, oh, I drove all the way from Atlanta to, I drove from Atlanta to California. And I said, oh, did you go across a lot of bridges? They were like, yeah. I said, where did you go in California? They said, I went to L.A. I said, did you go to a lot of L.A.'s? They was like, no, it's only one L.A. I said, right. So in life, a lot of times in relationships, there's usually a bunch of bridges but one destination. You just were the bridge to somebody else's destination.
Yep.
Bam!
Yeah.
Nice analogy, man.
And we got to understand that we can't always be someone's destination. The thing about dating is get out of it what you want out of it and stop being bitter and thrown off and feeling like you didn't get what you got. You were somebody's bridge. You were not the destination. A lot of times we're there to help somebody get over some shit. It might be over land. It might be over water. It might be over train tracks. It might be over their ex-husband who used to punch them in the eye.
Yeah. Here's something else, Tommy. My mother and I, we're not really close. We speak, we're cordial. We get along. She just hit me with a confession about a week ago. I'm 39 years old. Her and my father split by the time I was 2 years old. She is still pissed off at him. Still. She can't understand why I have a great relationship with my father because, see, now I'm supposed to be now mad at him because of something that happened 37 years ago. She doesn't understand the dynamics of the relationship that I have with my ex-husband because she's still mad at someone because they didn't end up getting married 39 years ago. My mom was 20. Something I said to her when she finally told me that. My mom was 20 when they met. My father was 17. Mommy, did you really think that that was going to be your husband? Y'all were both kids. Nobody told you to get pregnant. Nobody. She's 59
You're right.
years old and still mad at my father because they didn't work.
It's so crazy that we and people think that I look at relationships nonchalantly, and I'm like, no. Even where I am today, I don't give a crap how bad anybody was. I can't blame them for where I am today.
No,
you picked them. That relationship ran its course. People say you say what you're saying because you've been hurt by black women. I said, look, I believe I'm probably one of the luckiest men in the world because I've dealt with some of the most, and I think it's probably because I didn't grow up in the hood. So I didn't really like hood chicks. So because I didn't like hood chicks, all the black women were really, really nice. My daughter's mother is the most beautiful woman to me. She was nice. She still is. We sit on the phone and talk. My daughter put her hand on the hip, be mad, like, when am I getting on the phone?
Yeah.
We be talking, she'll tell, but it's like, why do you have to hold animus towards people you dealt with, especially if you dealt with them sexually? You used to blow people down like you was Popeye. Now you hate him?
Yeah, right.
Let it go. Before I say I hate you, I'd rather pretend I was never with you.
Yep.
Let me say it again. before I say I hate you, I'd rather pretend I was never with you.
Hmm. Who thought?
Because hating someone you were that intimate with shows that you are irresponsible in several ways, and the main one is who you choose to be that intimate with.
Well, your anger isn't even at the person. Now, mind you, my father, after they split, got married, divorced, isn't with either his quote-unquote baby mamas. He's chilling. His second ex-wife's chilling. My mother, 59 years old, still pissed off.
Wow.
Still pissed off. And then is mad at me because him and I are cool. My father and I are thick as thieves. She's mad at me because I'm not mad at him.
She's not supposed to have the right to get angry at you for you having a relationship with your
Thank
father.
You. Well, I'm going to take it a step further. I didn't meet my dad till I was 18. That's another reason why she's pissed, because she, look, talk about the original hater.
Wow.
Up until I met my dad. So mine, who's my dad? His name is Benny. He lives in Virginia. He left us the night you were born. For 18 years, that's all I heard. My father finally decides to look for me. He found me. She was pissed. Pissed. He looked for me at my grandparents' house, and it was the one weekend I happened to not be there. My grandparents called and said, "You'll never guess who just left here looking for Tina." Who? Benny. What he want now? He wants a relationship with his daughter.
That was a man with a conscience, right?
Exactly.
Tommy?
Well, what happened with this is what gets really, really crazy. So I find, of course, so now I'm like, well, Ma, can I go see him next weekend? I don't know. I have to think about it. Then it dawned on me, I'm like, I'm 18 years old. I'm going to go see him next weekend. Now, instead of being happy, like, wow, at least he came back. At least he's trying to make an attempt to be in our daughter's life. I was interrogating. So what did he say? So I had to tell her. I said, well, he said the complete opposite of what you said. In fact, now, mind you, all she told me for 18 years was his name is Benny, he lives in Virginia, and he left us the night you were born. My father had a photo album with about 20-piece pictures deep of him holding me. That's how deep the hate was. She lied because that's how much she wanted me to be mad at him.
I'm
going to
tell you from personal experience, most of the shit we're told about our parents is a damn lie. My mama told me about how my daddy wasn't there, but she conveniently forgot to tell me that my daddy was married to another woman and she was trying to take that man. She left that part out.
Hello.
Oh, wow.
It's just your daddy ain't shit. I'm like, wait a minute. He ain't shit. What did
so
he do?
He just left us. So
you never had
that.
That was somebody else's man.
Yep.
Like, I forgot to buy you sneakers. Oh, by the way, your dad was around yesterday. What's his name?
But you remember what those women did with Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg decided he wanted to hang out with his dad again, and almost every black woman in America was like, he just only coming back for the money. He wasn't there when you was little. You shouldn't want to have a family life with him now. I was like, really?
Wow.
Yep. And you don't want
that boy to have no interaction with his father. What you want him to do is to grow up, sleep with, and marry some chick that his father got with another chick, and now he found out that's his sister.
Yep.
Think about how many of us black people have probably slept with one of our relatives right now.
But Tommy, now here's and I'm glad you brought that up.
I don't want to think about
so
it.
So now, before I met my father, I now find out that I have a brother and a sister. And then I have about 20 cousins that I went to elementary school with, junior high, high school, had cousins that lived around the corner. This is how close I came to possibly sleeping or at least dating one of my cousins. I got an uncle who has two sons. My best friend to this day dated the older one.
Ooh.
And he always said to me, I got to hook you up with my baby brother. I got to hook you up with my baby brother. And thank God, because every time we was all supposed to go out and kick it, either the last minute I couldn't make it or he would show up and be like, oh, my brother, he had to do X, Y, Z, so we never met. See, and that's something that it's very, if nothing else, we as parents have got to tell our children about
the fact that you got a father or a mother somewhere, and you might possibly have some brothers and some sisters and some cousins that you might end up, you know, falling in love with or in lust with or whatever the case was or is.
Tina, you remember the story I did about the woman who had been married to her husband till the day he died? I mean, excuse me, to her father.
Yep.
She was married and produced children with her father.
Yep.
All because mama wouldn't tell him nothing.
Exactly.
And a lot of black mothers, and people get mad that I say this, but a lot of black mothers are so dirty, they so much don't love their daughters. Because daughters have it, men, if y'all think we have it hard, daughters have it worse than us. Because they actually have somebody that look like them who refused to teach them something. We don't have nobody look like us, so we can always blame it on our mothers didn't know how to teach us to be men. Well, think about it. They have a woman that looked just like them that from probably the time they four always tell them about how nappy their hair is, they tired of having to deal with them, how they hot in the ass, how they dress. That's all their mothers do to them, beat them down. That's why the majority of black daughters leave between the ages of 13 and 16. Tell me I'm lying.
Thank you, because that's true. That, again,
you hit
the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head because even
I'm going to tell you how right you are. That's my auntie right now with her 16-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She on the other side over there on exposition in Normandy. Oh, yeah.
I've seen it.
I've seen it
almost every girl I've dated. Every girl I've dated have had problems with their mother because their mothers, these little girls are worked like little slaves. These little girls have to end up keeping their other brothers and sisters while mama be at the club.
No, wait, I got a better one for you, Tommy.
You got the last minute. Go ahead.
Okay, I got a better one for you. My mother ended up remarrying to my stepfather. Not only, well, thank God they didn't have kids, but I had to cook him breakfast every morning before I left for school.
Mm.
When I came home, instead of going and doing my homework, cause my mother always got home from work after I got home from school, I had to start dinner for my stepfather.
And then they wonder why stepfather usually end up sleeping with little girls.
She could have very well set me up to get molested or touched or fondled
sure
or something by my stepfather.
Sure could have. That's what normally happens. But these mothers set that up, too, because something happened to them when they were little, and they don't want their daughters to outproduce them. Have you noticed that these mothers look more in turn for their sons to do better than them than their daughters? They want their daughters to be fucked up, have kids at 15 just like they did. Tell me I'm lying.
Yeah, the honest to God truth.
Yo, Tommy, can I get 20 seconds?
You got them.
Okay, you got a lot of veterans to call your show. Okay, I want to wish them a happy Veterans Day. Okay, hoorah. And also, your show Scene in Panama?
Yep.
Yep, I want to give a heads up to Panama. No te he visto, tú no has llamado en más de tres años. I heard you went out to Panama, and if you out there, man, you know, I hope you get this message, man, and